Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Halloween, mostly cloudy today. A couple of thunderstorms with a high around 61. This evening, a shower or thunderstorm is possible, then clearing with a low in the mid-40s. Tuesday, sunshine and beautiful with a high around 62. Tuesday evening, clear skies with a low around 45. And then on Wednesday, warm with a full day of sunshine. The high should be around 71. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 54 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 57 with some clouds as well. It's time now for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning on the wake-up call, David Swanson joins Liz Brown. He's co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org, and they're pushing to have President George Bush impeached for starting an illegal war. A new study indicates a majority of Americans favor such a move. We'll talk about that and more of what his group has in the pipeline. And that's Tuesday morning at 7 here on the wake-up call.
Influenza is a serious disease.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or other chronic medical conditions, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is between 6 and 23 months, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with those at high risk, yes. Influenza will kill as many as 36,000 people this year. It's that serious. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Victims of Hurricane Katrina are attempting to recover from the massive storm. American Red Cross volunteers have been deployed to the hardest hit areas of Katrina's destruction, supplying victims left homeless with critical necessities. By making a financial gift to support relief efforts, the Red Cross can provide shelter, food, counseling, and other assistance to those affected by Hurricane Katrina. The work has just begun. Victims of Hurricane Katrina need your help now. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org.
A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing. hearing revolution. The air from the brother. How can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution. The air from the brother. How can I listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a measure my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal citizenship.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That would be the fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I know that I was told that last week was a very emotional week for folks with the execution of Marlon Gray. His wake is tonight at Ronald Jones's funeral home that is on West Florissant. And it's going to be from 5 till 8. Tonight, I believe it is 5 o'clock to 8. The funeral will be Tuesday at 11 a.m. at St. Paul's. That's interesting. Some folks told me over the course of last week, and the day after the execution, the murder of Marlon Gray. Some people told me that they couldn't take it anymore, that this was just too hard. Well, I think that everybody needs to understand that as hard as that was, it was just the beginning of what we are going to be called to do. Jay Nixon has looked into all of your faces and hurled the proverbial political spittle and said, I don't care, I'm gonna execute the other young black man on that case too. I'm going to execute him too. Gonna set that date in two weeks. And it is an amazing place that we find ourselves in. I believe that we are being asked to rise up and to do some things, to move the political, to change the political landscape of the state of Missouri, the city of St. Louis, the county of St. Louis. I believe we're being asked to change the political landscape. Political spittle is what this is. And we will be talking about that. But the wake for Marlon Gray is at Ronald Jones's funeral home from 5 to 8 tonight. The funeral is tomorrow at 11 at St. Paul's AME Church. We have much business to tend to. I have to ask you this question. Why isn't today a holiday? Rosa Parks is lying in state in the rotunda. Why isn't today a holiday? In commemoration of her. How many days did this nation mourn a 90-something-year-old man who was elected to the presidency? How many hours of work? How many cries for memorializing someone who didn't do one single thing by himself? You think about it, the act of anybody that sits in the White House is a cumulative act at best in terms of the advice, the direction, the support, the money, the people who comb his hair, the people to put on his makeup, the people that write his speeches. Now, the buck stops there. There's no question about it. But it's one thing to say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear the wall down or whatever, when you have the United States military at your back. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not exactly a true act of bravery when you have the quote-unquote the strongest military in the world at your side. I'm sorry, not at your back, at your side, backing you up. When you say, do something, you're not exactly saying do something by yourself. That's a whole different thing than what Rosa Parks did in terms of looking an entire racist system in the face. Threats of beating, threats of murder, threats of her family, threats of loss of job, and all of that happened. The loss of jobs part happened. So if you want to compare fearlessness-ism, if there is such a word, fearlessness-ism, I think that why don't we have a national holiday? Why don't we have a national holiday? There is much business to tend to. I don't know. Y'all help me with this, because I'm a little tired today. I'm a little wore out. I'm a little, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm a little reflective today. Yeah, today is my Monday reflection day. So I'm coming at it with a little different energy this morning. So because I'm coming at it with this kind of, let's just kind of reflect on this. I need y'all to help me with some stuff, okay? Hold my hand, if you will. And walk, help me walk through this. I'm looking at this article out of the AP. And, you know, I am not the world's most complete historian. I absolutely am not. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are better at the knowing every historical detail and the context thereof. But I do all right. So I'm struggling with this bit of information. Austin, Texas. Bill Clinton said, "Democrats can't be afraid to talk about hot-button issues, including abortion, should fight back against personal attacks from conservatives if they want to regain power in Washington." That's what Bill Clinton said, huh? Huh? What do you mean? What do you mean? Fight back against, huh? Your wife won't fight back against this war. You know, I mean, you can't get your wife to fight back against this war. How are you going to tell me? Now, you know, I understand she may not listen to your direction. I understand that there may be some issues there between the two of you, but you telling Democrats that they should fight back against abortion, what about the war? Clinton attributed Republicans' control of the Congress to Democrats' candidates' inability or unwillingness to stand up and be heard on issues that matter to the people. Huh? You're the king of capitulation. We don't have any liberals in the court thanks to you. You are the king of the middle road. And now you're telling folks to stand up and stand tough and stand tall and speak against them. You the man that's sitting next, you the man who looked us in the face after Katrina and said not to judge George Bush, as I recall. Again, I'm not the best historian in the world. But I didn't have to go back 100 years to remember that little historical nugget. Bill Clinton told us to hush up and leave him alone in the early days of Katrina. And now you saying to fight back? I think we need a better spokesman. I think we need a better spokesman to talk about talking tough. And here is the sickening thing. Bill Clinton is telling us to talk tough. Okay. Telling Democrats to talk tough. He's telling Democrats to talk tough. Stand up! Don't you let them push you around. Okay, I get it. But he didn't say anything about the indictment of Scooter Libby when he had the opportunity to do so. Ain't that some... It's Monday. I ain't, don't make me cuss at this time of day. Please don't make me do that. You had a chance to hop on that boy and ride him. What do we say? Like you win the Kentucky Derby, and you didn't. And you didn't. Oh Lord, my name is Liz Brown. Oh Lord, this is the wake up call. You need to get up. They picked another guy for the Supreme Court. There was a collective sigh when baby girl said, I capitulate. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Can't take this no more. Another brilliant decision, Mr. President, in making me resign. You were just a brilliant man. They picked a Scalia Light, a man who is known on the bench as Scalia Light. Oh, Lord have mercy on all of us. Lord have mercy on all of us. My name is Liz Brown. I am right here with you on the, best weekend of the year. The weekend I got my hour back. It's all good. It's all good. I'll be back. We need to talk about this blanket drive, too. We need to talk about this blanket drive. We're going to talk about that. Can I get to some of your calls? Got some more information for you. Please don't go nowhere. Just make sure you hold my hand through this whole process, because don't let go. Don't let go of my hand. I'll be back. Whatever happens.
Good morning, St. Louis, 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Comtrax. Eastbound 44 at Big Bend, that accident's been cleared. Traffic is still easing by. Westbound 70 between 170 and McDonald Boulevard. All roadways reopened after an earlier car fire. Eastbound 44 from the Antire and Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom to Carondelet, no problems report there. Eastbound 70 from 370, the Blanchett Bridge looks good. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson all the way into Lindbergh, everything is flowing freely. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall Road, you already have heavy volume going on your Halloween. Westbound 270 between Lilac and West Florissant, no problems there. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge looks good. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic is building. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, nothing to report there. Northbound Route 3 from Poplar Street Bridge, look for everything to be on the move. Eastbound 30 at Northwest Boulevard, there's an accident involving a vehicle that struck a light pole. Only one right lane is open at this hour, and traffic jams from New Sugar Creek Road in both directions. 255 at Camp Jackson is road construction, and in both directions, 64 between 158 and Agreement Road. Look for some construction going on there. One lane will be closed during off-peak hours. Sours traffic has been sponsored by Comtrax. Comtrax Deep Chest Cold has an ingredient specifically designed to break up stubborn chest congestion and relieve sore throats and coughing. Comtrax knocks out every kind of cold symptom. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Today, mostly cloudy. A couple of thunderstorms are possible. High around 60 this evening. Showers or thunderstorms are likely. And then clearing with a low around 45 on Halloween. For Tuesday, sunshine and beautiful, high around 65. Tuesday evening, clear with a low around 45. And then on Wednesday, warm with a full day of sunshine. The high should be around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 55 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 57. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8 here on the Wake Up Call, we're going to take another look at the so-called Leakgate scandal from another angle. New York Times reporter Judith Miller says she went to jail to protect her source, who turned out to be Scooter Libby. But was she really just protecting him from a perjury charge? How do you expose corruption by protecting the corrupt? That's our focus with Steve Rendell, senior analyst with Fair and Accuracy in Reporting, Tuesday at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk-to-dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Far Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't fly George W. Bush with the television.
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of stock one or two.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call.
Me?
Yes, yes.
Oh, good. Welcome back, Ms. Brown.
Thank you.
And thank you for your wonderful introduction to about concerning Rosa Parks and Ronald Reagan. Ms. Brown, the truth will set you free. I just want to let you know, Ms. Brown, everything you said was true. Where is the holiday? Do you think Nancy Reagan is well enough to go to Washington and her and Barbara, she can hook up with Barbara to go to the rotunda to see Rosa? They can hook up together, Ms. Brown. But, Ms. Brown, I also want to tell you this. You stole my thunder about what Bill Clinton said. Former President Bill Clinton, he needs to go sit down somewhere, too. Is he going to tell Hillary to start fighting?
Mm.
Is he going to tell her to start fighting as far as that? And another thing, Ms. Brown, did you see where Condoleezza Rice got her photo op at Montgomery, Alabama, when she stood up in the church talking about she wouldn't be where she would be now if it wasn't for Rosa Parks? Well, I want to tell you something, Condoleezza Rice. If I had been sitting next to you, where was you when William Benham made those remarks about you being aborted? You kept your mouth quiet on that, didn't you? And don't you ever think, Condoleezza Rice, you're going to be president or vice president, honey. That's not in your program, sweetheart. And another thing, Ms. Brown, I'm so sick of these Democrats, Ms. Brown. I'm like you, Ms. Brown. Need to be a change. And as far as Ambassador Wilson and Valerie Plame, his wife, somebody need to pay for that. I'm looking forward for President Cheney and Karl Rove to be at their trial, Ms. Brown. And like I said, if Ambassador Wilson and Valerie Plame want to run for the president and first lady, they got my vote, Ms. Brown. Have a nice day.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. One of the things that I thought was fascinating about the Valerie Plame piece is that the one reporter that blew the story, that wrote the column, Novak, he also said that he also gave the place that Valerie Plame worked. He named it, I think it's some kind of international company. And then he said that, and nobody works. I bet you that this company doesn't even exist. Well, it didn't exist. It was listed in Dun and what is it? Dun and Broad Street, whatever that the big dictionary or not dictionary, but resource journal, resource treatise, resource thing that you turn to Dun and Bradstreet. Is it that's right? Dun and Bradstreet that you look at to check out businesses. It was listed there because the CIA put it there because they were creating a cover for all of their agents. So think about this. When Robert Novak blew her cover, think of all the other people whose cover he blew because there were other agents out there that also worked for the same place. So now people are going to know when these agents say, this is where I work for, or have said that this is where I work for, they're going to know that they work for the CIA too. So think of all the other people. The damage to this, as we were told on Friday by, our guest last week, who talked about this, think of all the other people whose covers have been blown as a result of this. The damage is immeasurable. Immeasurable. 454-0400 is my phone number. Earl, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you?
I am outstanding.
That's good. Miss Brown, first of all, I would like to give thanks. I would like to give thanks to the life of Miss Rosa Parks.
All right now.
And I heard you mention that you want your audience to hold your hand, Miss Brown. Miss Brown, I know this may be hard, but I would like to hold your hand between 2 and 4 o'clock and take a bus ride in our community and let you see what's going on the bus. And I think you would be amazed, Miss Brown. I know if I was to take Mrs. Rosa Parks' hand, if she was still living, and ride to bus, she would be hurt, Miss Brown. She would be hurt. Mm. I think we all need to ride the bus between 2 and 4 o'clock and see what's going on.
I love that idea. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Miss Brown.
I love that idea. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning. Your first half hour, you were talking about Marlon Gray and...
And let me put out that information about the funeral, if you don't mind. I need to put the information out because his wake is today from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Ronald Jones is on West Florissant. Then the funeral is tomorrow at St. Peter's at Margaretta and Shreve at 11 a.m. The open casket will be from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. The funeral or the burial will follow directly after that and then back at St. Peter's at Margaretta and Shreve. And the family is asking if you're going to send flowers, send peace lilies. His brother will be officiating along with Reverend Mike Jones from Friendly Temple, and that the funeral is going to be at 11 a.m. on Tuesday. And the family is asking everybody that was so supportive, that wrote letters that supported Marlon, to please come out and show their support because we have another one of these executions coming up very soon.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You also were saying that you were talking to people over the weekend and whenever, and some of them were saying that they were tired and couldn't take it anymore.
No, they didn't say they were tired. They didn't say they were tired. They were just saying that it was so too hard and they didn't want to go through that again.
Oh, I thought you were saying they were giving up.
Oh, no. They were just trying to express how hurtful this was and how painful it was to go. No, it wasn't an expression of giving up at all. At all.
Yes, because I know our ancestors, they had to go through something as horrific as that almost every hour.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I wanted to comment on this prosecutor. I don't know if he's called a special prosecutor or not. I believe his name is Patrick Fitzgerald. I heard news reports that Karl Rove's attorney had been working on the sidelines with him so that he wouldn't be indicted. And lo and behold, he wasn't indicted. And wouldn't you call that obstruction of justice if he's not indicted? Because it was leaked very early on that he was the one who said that Valerie Plame was a CIA agent.
Did you hear all of the news about the special prosecutor? Special prosecutor hasn't closed his case.
I know he's still investigating.
Well, that's a big deal. I mean, and I think it's just fascinating how the news over the weekend just glossed over that. Just glossed over the fact that the special prosecutor, the special prosecutor also has said to Karl Rove's people, I haven't decided whether I'm going to indict you or not. So Karl Rove's people are acting like, and that's the spin that they're putting on it, that he's out of the clear. I mean, that he's cleared. And no such thing has happened. He has not been cleared. And I think that the assessment of the special prosecutor and the role of Karl Rove's attorney we have to wait until the investigation is done. And the fact that the investigation is not closed should be very, very disconcerting and concerning to the Karl Rove folks. They're just happy that they didn't get indicted last week. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that this is over. It's no way over because the prosecutor hasn't excused that same jury that brought these indictments and hasn't closed the case.
Well, do you think that how would Karl Rove's attorney, how would he be able to work with the special prosecutor to try to get his client from not being indicted?
That's what his job is. I would be working with the special prosecutor to keep my client from getting indicted as well. You're reading the wrong types of impression into that. All attorneys work with the other attorney, the prosecutor, trying to keep their client from getting indicted, trying to keep their client from being charged. That's what attorneys do. That's what defense attorneys do.
Well, you're tripping on the word. I don't know anything about that. I just see what I see on television. I've never seen.
Don't make too much of the word work with.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because the word work with is not really a good description of what's happening. They're representing their client, and they're talking to the special prosecutor to keep their client from being indicted.
And this is the first time I've ever heard this. Maybe this so-called news media, like you said, are putting a spin on it, because I've never heard those words before, working with the prosecutor. It just seems like they're trying to, like you say, gloss over it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So thank you.
Uh-huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. Let's take a break. I'm Liz Brown. Please don't forget that Marlon Gray's wake is today from 5 to 8 at Ronald Jones on West Florissant. And the funeral is tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Peter's at Margareta and Shreve. I'll be back.
One mother's late, one shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, David Swanson joins Liz Brown. He's co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org, and they're pushing to have President George Bush impeached for starting an illegal war. A new study indicates a majority of Americans favor such a move. We'll talk about that and more of what his group has in the pipeline. And that's Tuesday morning at 7 here on the Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline London. An officer in the Royal Air Force is facing a military court trial in England for failing to return to the war in Iraq. Malcolm Kendall Smith is not a conscientious objector, but has in fact done two tours of duty in the war. When he came home last time, he studied the reasons for starting the war and came to the conclusion that he was breaking the law by fighting in an illegal conflict. The legality issue is of deep concern to the British military. They asked for Tony Blair's assurance that the war was legal, and he gave it to them. But that has now been proven to be based on improper intelligence information. And Dateline New York. The major oil companies have announced major profits for their third fiscal quarter. The world's largest, ExxonMobil, says it made over $9 billion in profit for the period. That's 75% more than it made for the same quarter of last year, and it's also the largest profit ever recorded by a U.S. company for a quarterly earning. That comes out to about $75 a minute over 3 months. Exxon has made over $25 billion in profits for the first 9 months of this year, and that's greater than the profit it made for all of last year. Royal Dutch Shell reports a $9 billion profit. That's up 68%. BP had a $6.5 billion profit, up 34%. And ConocoPhillips made a 53% profit to just under $4 billion. Exxon has spent almost $7 billion this year paying dividends to shareholders and buying back stocks, which keeps the price high. The head of Exxon, Lee Raymond, told a Fox News program that profit is not a dirty word because the oil industry mandates a sufficient level of profit in order to continue to invest. These five top companies control half the refining capacity in the U.S., and they're also large players in the natural gas industry. There's an interesting footnote, though. When gas was at $3 a gallon, the refineries were getting $1 of it, and the companies that did the drilling made about 50 cents. The rest went straight to the oil companies. This is your wake-up call global news update.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
A simple answer to rebuilding the Gulf Coast is to trim waste out of the defense budget. But why is Congress afraid to touch the military? Because no one wants to be seen as weak on defense. Monday morning at 7, Lawrence Korb from the Center of Defense Information joins us on the wake-up call with a new report that shows up to $60 billion could be cut out of the $440 billion defense budget without harming a thing. Now, it may not be enough to do the whole job, but it is a great starting point to help Louisiana and Mississippi get back on the road to recovery. We'll look at some other defense programs that could be dropped because they're simply outdated. That's coming up Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I'm invisible.
Say that you won't treat me the way you're treating me. Say that you won't.
Oh, Luther. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Please don't forget our blanket drive. It's on us. The blanket drive is on us. The 18th and the 19th of November, 2 weekends from now. You know what? Here's what I would like for you to do, because you can start bringing your blankets. here to the station, and we'll get them. We'll get them to Carver House. We will get them to Carver House. For those of you that are not able to bring your blankets to Carver House on the day of the blanket drive, please start bringing your blankets. You can bring them right here to the station. They have $5 blankets, $5 blankets at Kmart, $5 blankets at the dollar store down there, all throughout your community. You can get $5 blankets. I'm asking everybody, put aside the $20 a week to get your blankets for the blanket drive. We need volunteers. Call the station during the hours that I'm on the air at 454-6660, 454-6660. You'll get a free T-shirt and knowledge that you're doing something very powerful and wonderful for your community. So please start getting your blankets in. You can start bringing them to the station. Let's get this going. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, I'm listening to the people talking about Mrs. Park. And, you know, if she is and can see, as they say, what is going on today, she would be surprised to see that the same thing happening today with the black politicians and the black leaders that it were when what she was fighting against. You understand? Mrs. Park stood up and did something as an individual. She was showing us, the people at her time, well, that you don't have to move. There is a law. The Constitution said that you have a right to sit here. And she was doing that. Not no politician, not no Martin Luther King, but they got on her back. Now, today, what do you see? They're the Republican Party. The only thing that the black people are doing today, if they following along with all of this uproar about Mrs. Powell, like they love her so and they country love what she did so, hey, the only thing you're doing is helping the Republican Party is because they is getting your mind off of what we should be doing. I'm sitting here reading the paper now talking about how the health department here in St. Louis is going by the zip code area to deny people's medical care. And all this. And I'm a politician. They're not interested in that. They want to tell you something about what an individual, this woman did that on her own. The NAACP didn't take her, and they knew about what kind of mess was going on. Not Reverend Sharpton. None of these black leaders did it.
Well, okay. And here's the thing. I think that there's a danger in having a broad brush to paint everybody. There are certainly flaws within every individual. I think that it would be an inaccurate statement of history to suggest that black people the age of Sharpton or the age of Jesse Jackson weren't down in the South and fighting these things and standing up against a whole lot of racism that continues to this day. I think it would be an injustice to paint with the broad brush a politician by the name of Congressman John Conyers, who gave Rosa Parks a job 40 years ago or 30-something years ago when he first became a congressman, when she lost her job as a result of what she did. Congressman Conyers, who's had his arms around Rosa Parks for her entire life, and the same Congressman Conyers who was standing up in the face of 99% of the unrighteousness that is going on in the United States Congress. I think it would be unfair to paint a broad brush against the only person in the United States Congress that said, I'm not going to vote for this war, Congresswoman, a black woman, Congresswoman Lee. I think it would be unfair to paint a broad brush with a politician like by the name of Maria Chappelle Nadal, who's on a local level here, who stood up as a woman of African descent to fight against and help kill a bill on education that there are 3 or 4 or 5 foul black politicians, Rodney Hubbard being one of them, Ted Hoskins being the other person, that to bring an education bill that would have eliminated, that would have destroyed the St. Louis public schools and carried the water for the Republican Party. So I think that let's not paint with a broad in our frustration and our anger and our fury about those who are elected that are not doing right. We can't afford to paint with a broad brush all of them, and we shouldn't, and we should not, and I'm not going to let it happen on my show.
Well, you know, all right.
And I got to go, got to go, we got to go. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, Ms. Brown, this finances up in their government amazes me. They're cutting Medicare, Medicaid, and NASA's talking wants $100 billion to return to the moon. The government's thinking about doing them. $100 billion. And they tell you there's no money for children.
Well, you know why? You know why they spend that George Bush wants to spend $100 billion on that?
No, ma'am.
Because he heard that Cindy Sheehan doesn't live on the moon. Thanks for your call.
Good.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'll be back. We'll be back to talk about where they could get the money to pay for Katrina. The money is there. I'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this
happen? WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. President Bush announcing his new Supreme Court nominee at this hour. It's Judge Samuel Alito of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia, a longtime favorite of conservatives. His credentials, says ABC's Ann Compton, Princeton, and Yale.
He's known for several opinions, including one which said a community Christmas display was not unconstitutional. He also argued that women should get their husband's permission before an abortion.
Walter Timpone worked as a prosecutor back in the 80s in New Jersey, along with Alito.
If they think they've got kind of this right-wing zealot as their nominee, they're wrong.
Confirmation hearings promise to be lively, though. Top Democrats have already set the stage for a filibuster, saying Alito is too conservative. An ABC News Washington Post poll taken after the indictment and resignation of vice presidential aide Louis Scooter Libby on Friday shows the president's approval rating at an all-time low of 39%. But ABC's John Yang says history proves that scandals can be short-lived.
Only Richard Nixon's second term ended in disaster. The others were able to rebound, and Mr. Bush may be able to as well. A shift that could mean abandoning lofty second-term goals, such as overhauling Social Security and federal tax laws.
In Iraq, a deadly day for American troops. The U.S. command says six American soldiers were killed today in two separate roadside bombings. Those filing past the casket of Rosa Parks at the Capitol Rotunda are saying the late civil rights icon changed their lives.
She's a very strong woman. She opened up the doors for me and everyone else.
Phyllis Smith, one of the hundreds who waited in line for hours to pay their respects to the woman who made history when she took a seat in the white section of a Montgomery bus 50 years ago. Her funeral is Wednesday in Detroit. This is ABC News.
Oh, that morning alarm hurts even more with arthritis pain. I gotta take something. But these days, where do you turn for relief of minor arthritis pain? Well, my doctor recommended Advil. Even after 20 years, no over-the-counter pain reliever has been proven stronger or to last longer on tough pain than Advil. Not Tylenol, not Aleve. And it's gentle on your stomach. That alarm is less alarming with Advil. Advil. Fast, strong, trusted.
Use as directed. For occasional pain only, do not exceed 10 days. Talk to your doctor if pain persists.
So, you had the big meeting yesterday. The boss was cranky from 6 hours on the red eye. Dan left the presentation in the cab, and you sat on a 4-inch window ledge for 90 minutes.
Next time, web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have a more productive meeting without leaving your office. Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll.
Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/WorkLive. That's Microsoft.com/WorkLive or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
Zipping past TV commercials could be hazardous to your teenager's health, according to ABC's chief investigative correspondent, Brian Ross.
There are some TV commercials that teenagers aren't watching enough of, and health officials are worried.
The winner is
Tobacco!
Once again, tobacco killed more people than murder, suicide, and illicit drugs combined.
A new government study finds the commercials are reaching fewer teenagers than before, in large part because the states have drastically cut back on what were once some very promising campaigns. Matt Myers of the group Tobacco Free Kids calls it a tragedy and a scandal.
It is perhaps one of the greatest public health opportunities missed.
I'm Brian Ross, ABC News.
Transit strike disrupting the morning commute in Philadelphia. Thousands of transit workers walked out over wages and benefits. Buses, trolleys, and subways are at a standstill. I'm Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Reporting WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston. This report brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. And here's a look at the news. The cleanup continues following a crash involving an Amtrak train and a car in Pacific, Missouri. Fire crews, emergency personnel, and a medical examiner were called to the scene late last night. Initial reports indicate there were at least two passengers in the car that collided with the train. No train passengers are reported injured at this time, and there's no word on how many people were aboard the train either. It was headed from Kansas City to St. Louis. In other news, autopsy results are pending on a 9-year-old Belleville girl who died suddenly last week while sitting in class at Whiteside Elementary School. Whiteside School District Superintendent Peggy Burke says Taylor Jennings suddenly collapsed while sitting in class after lunch.
There were no known medical conditions, no illness at the time that anyone was aware of. It was very unexpected and without warning.
Burke says the school nurse tried to revive Taylor, as did paramedics, but the little girl was pronounced dead a short time later at a local hospital. Funeral arrangements for Taylor are pending. More women are the big breadwinners in their homes. That's the word from a new study out of St. Louis University. It shows that 20% of women earn more money than their husbands. Timothy McBride, the director of health policy at SLU's School of Public Health, says this is not a temporary trend.
If you look at this over a 3-year period, about 60% of those households will continue to do that for a 3-year period. So it's persistent. That wife that out-earns her husband will continue to do it year after year.
McBride says the trend can be seen in the homes of working poor families and in households where women are doctors and lawyers. In other news, 8 people are in custody after a shooting at the Midwest Recreation Center early Sunday morning. Investigators say one person was shot in the knee and another was shot in the foot during a dance at the North St. Louis County site. The incident remains under investigation. 2 people are recovering after a weekend accident in South St. Louis County. A Colloride van and a car collided on Telegraph Road early Sunday morning. Both drivers sustained serious injuries. And colleagues, friends, and writers are remembering longtime St. Louis Post-Dispatch sports columnist Bob Bregg. Bregg died Thursday at the age of 87 after a long illness. He began writing for the paper in 1945 and served as its sports editor from 1958 until his retirement in 1985. In 1979, Bregg received the J.G. Taylor Spinks Award, given by the Baseball Hall of Fame to writers. Visitation is scheduled for Wednesday afternoon, 3 till 8, at Kriegshauser Mortuary in Olivet. A funeral mass is scheduled for Thursday morning at 10 at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Clayton. That's a report of WGNU News brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play daily, play nightly, play when you need a smile, play for the rush. No matter how you play, play the Illinois Lottery and have a ball. Have fun, play responsibly. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270. Heavy volume there. Northbound 55 between Union all the way into Weber. Very heavy volume as well. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley. Slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44. Stop and go. Westbound 270 at West Forest and very heavy volume there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way to 79. Look for heavy traffic going on. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for bumper-to-bumper traffic. Westbound 40 between McLeod Station and Hanley. You've got slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue all the way into 5570 split. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB. It is stop and go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Cleeds Landing looks good at this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect a little slow go going on there. Eastbound 30 at Northwest Boulevard. Look for an accident involving a vehicle that struck a light pole. Only one right lane is open and traffic jams all the way to New Sugar Creek Road. Market at Tucker, there's an injury accident. And Brown Road at Tutwiler, there's a report of an accident involving a vehicle into a house that's in Berkeley. And in the 9100 block of Highway BB in Jefferson County, there's a report of an accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines has three daily flights from St. Louis to Fort Myers, Naples. Are you thinking what they're thinking? Maybe it's time to see Fort Myers, Naples. Visit southwest.com today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly cloudy. A couple of thunderstorms are possible today. High around 60. This evening, showers and a thunderstorm are possible for the Halloween trick-or-treaters. Otherwise, it'll be clearing overnight with a low around 45. For Tuesday, sunshine and beautiful, high around 60. Tuesday evening, clear skies with a low around 45. And Wednesday, that continued clear sky and warm with a full day of sunshine. Look for a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy skies with rain, we have 55 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 56 and rain as well. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. She'll be talking to Lawrence Korb, the senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, come listen. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, come listen.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. I am looking at a couple of things this morning. ExxonMobil posting new records for profits. The world's largest publicly traded oil company said that they had reported that they had a 75%, that's a 9.92 billion dollar profit. That's almost $10 billion. It's the largest quarterly profit for a U.S. company ever. And it was the first to ring up more than $100 billion in quarterly sales. Now, the folks at Exxon are quick to tell us it's not what it appears to be. We need high profits in order to make our company work. It's not what it appears to be. Okay. I guess we're stupid. I guess it's not profit. It's not $10 billion in profit. But don't look over here and think that that's a lot of money. I'm looking at another article coming from the Reuters report that hundreds of people marched on the Capitol in Louisiana, trying to get jobs. Locals, not Exxon type, Halliburton type, billion-dollar companies getting great access to the financial coffers of you and me and of this government. This average people marching on New Orleans saying the only thing that we've been offered is one particular individual that has a fleet of bulldozers, could do the work. Lives right there in New Orleans, actually. But the only thing that he's been offered is manual labor. So we have people trying to get to, local people trying to get jobs in Louisiana. We have multi-billion dollar corporations getting multi-million dollar contracts. We have multi-billion dollar corporations making billions of dollars while saying that it doesn't appear to be what it is. There's been some crazy numbers crunching going on. And now the final article, or not the final article, but the final piece I want to add to this discussion is that our government is saying that the only way that we can pay for the cost of Katrina, again, billion-dollar oil companies making almost $10 billion in a quarterly profit. Highest ever in the history of any corporation in the United States. The only way that they're saying that you think if we just put like a little teeny tiny tax on the oil company we could pay for Katrina? There's a little teeny tiny tax on them. But our good government is saying that the only way that we can pay for Katrina is if we cut food stamps, if we cut Medicaid, Medicare, if we make a cut in Social Security, if we cut those they call food and water entitlement programs, and ExxonMobil a hard-earned profits. We need to talk about this. Surely we can pay for Katrina and beyond. Particularly if we're fiddling around the edges of spending $100 billion to fly to the moon. The poor people are down here. The middle class are down here. If we're fiddling around the edges of that possibility, surely we can find a way to pay for
Katrina. Let's talk about that. I think we can. To facilitate that conversation, we have joining us from Washington, D.C., Lawrence Korb, the senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Lawrence, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
You think we can come up with a couple of pennies to pay for Katrina outside of cutting food stamps?
Oh, certainly. I mean, there are two things. One, obviously, as you pointed out with ExxonMobil, we should raise taxes on the wealthy. In fact, this is the first war we've ever fought where we not only don't have a draft, but the president's actually cut taxes.
Mm.
The other thing is there are a lot of programs in the Department of Defense budget that have nothing to do with fighting the war on terrorism. It are really a lot of weapons that are dealing with threats from a bygone era, like with the Soviet Union. I mean, we're spending, for example, about over $300 million to buy each what they call the FA-22, the Fighter Attack 22, which was designed when I was in the Pentagon working for President Reagan to deal with the next generation of Soviet Union fighters. There is no next, you know, generation, but yet we're going ahead with that program.
But wait a minute. Why are we going ahead with that program?
Well, there are reasons that the Air Force wants it. They always want a plane that can fly faster, higher, and, you know, and their jobs on the line. It's being built in Georgia. And when Secretary Rumsfeld actually wanted to stop building it in 2009, and there's, you know, been a great outcry from the Republican senators in Georgia. So my hero, President Eisenhower, called, you know, the military-industrial complex. I mean, that's one reason once you start these weapon systems, it's very hard to stop it. National Missile Defense, which is President Bush's favorite program. We're spending about $11 billion a year on that, beginning to deploy it. It hadn't been adequately tested, and it deals with the most unlikely, you know, threat. If a terrorist were to attack us, they're not going to shoot a missile because it would have a return address. They'll probably smuggle it in a container.
But we're spending how much on that?
The ballistic missile defense budget this year is $10.5 billion. That's for the coming fiscal year. Last year it was about $11 billion.
What are some of the other programs we're not even talking about cutting the whole program.
Well, I mean, no, I would cut it back to about $3 billion and keep on doing research and development because you want to always have a hedge in case, you know, North Korea should, develop the capability to hit us, or if in fact something should happen with another superpower. But you don't need to be spending $11 billion. When President Bush came into office, he doubled spending on it because he wanted to deploy it. I mean, this has been kind of the Republicans' favorite program. It was in the contract with America when they took over Congress, and it's been in the Republican Party platforms for the last three presidential elections.
Well, how do we determine? Who determines? How do people? Is there some organization or some entity or somebody whose job it is to look at a program and see whether it is fiscally responsible?
Well, there are a lot of people that do it. I just finished a report that's on our website about $60 billion. In the defense budget that has nothing to do with fighting the war on terror. I mean, the war in Iran, in Iraq and Afghanistan is funded separately. The regular defense budget, if you will, is about $440 billion, and then that doesn't pay for the war. Those are handled in supplements, and the supplements so far for fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan have amounted to over $300 billion.
So when you talk about this $60 billion that's not related, give us some more examples of that.
Well, I'm going to give you another example. We still have close to 7,000 strategic, that's long-range nuclear weapons. And there's no reason with the end of the Cold War that you should be maintaining those. This administration is trying to develop new nuclear weapons rather than trying to, you know, eliminate them. If you were to cut back that number, say, to about 1,000, stop developing new nuclear weapons, cut back, you know, missile defense, you could basically save just $20 billion doing that.
What's the political will of Congress to deal with any of this?
Well, you got a couple of problems. One, the Republicans, obviously, particularly with missile defense, and they want to go ahead with it. And the Democratic Party, unfortunately, doesn't want to be seen as, you know, soft on defense. And so they're not as adamant. Now, some are. I mean, some have been very, very strong against it, but the Republicans control both houses, and so it's very, very difficult. You saw what happened to Senator Kerry during the campaign when people talked about, you know, gee, he had voted against all these weapon systems, and this showed he was weak on defense. Most of the ones he voted on were weapons we didn't need after the end of the Cold War.
But that I attribute that far more to Kerry's inability to articulate a response that made any sense.
Trying to give you an illustration of how difficult it is to fight these particular weapon systems. I mean, they take on a life of their own once they're developed. And
what's one of the worst? What's one of the worst in your opinion? If you were making the decision for creating the poster child for the worst spending for the military, worst spending in the Pentagon, worst military related spending that everybody in America would say that we don't need this.
It would be the National Missile Defense Program, because you're rushing to deploy it. Actually, deployed it even though it hasn't been successfully tested in 3 years. And normally, you should not deploy something till you know it works. But they're rushing ahead and said, "Oh, we'll fix the problems as we go." And even if these tests that they've had were successful, they've been staged, if you will, because they don't use them against decoys or anything. In other words, the only tests that have worked have been when you know where the other missile is coming. I mean, for example, and really that's just rushing a program. And so rather than spending $11 billion, I cut that down to $3 billion. And that, I mean, people should relate to that. And to give you a question of misplaced priorities, we spend more on this one program than the entire Coast Guard. And, you know, we're asking the Coast Guard to guard 8,000 miles of, you know, shoreline and to buy new ships for the Coast Guard, new ships and planes. This year we spend $1 billion.
Huh?
$1 billion is all the total Coast Guard budget is about $7 billion. They get $1 billion to buy, you know, new ships. You know, if you looked at all the navies in the world, about 39 navies in the world, our Coast Guard is the second oldest. In other words, there are 37 navies around the world that are more modern than our Coast Guard.
Surely, given all of the red, green, orange, chartreuse alerts that we've had and since post 9/11, surely somebody in the United States Congress should be pointing this out, or has pointed this out, or is talking about this.
Well, there are a lot of people have pointed it out. Richard Clark, who was the counterterrorism advisor of both Clinton and Bush, has written about this and testified about this. A lot of people, you know, have, but, you know, it's quote-unquote wartime, and it's hard for people, you know, to stand up, and point these things out. Now, I'm very fortunate, you know, having worked for President Reagan, having served in the military, when I say something, people can't accuse me of, you know, being soft on defense or anything like that. And that's part of the problem. I think you have a generation of people who had not worked, you know, or served in the military, and they just don't really want to challenge the military. I mean, look what happened to Senator Max Cleveland of Georgia in the 2002 election. Now, there's, you know, Senator Cleveland has, you know, a triple amputee from Vietnam, but yet because he opposed taking away union rights from workers going into the new Department of Homeland Security, he was criticized as being soft on terrorism, and he lost the election.
But we have people like Senator John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
He's pointed out numerous times about where this waste comes without any ill results. Like the tell us about the Boeing tanker deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, and because of Senator McCain's dogged efforts, we've got the emails. What you had was that the Air Force did a study and said they didn't need any new tankers. Those are planes that refuel the fighters and bombers. Then Boeing came along and said, look, we can make you a good deal on 767s because we're going to close down the production line. So the Air Force went back and said, oh, gee, we do need tankers. And then the way it works in the Pentagon, when you buy something, you pay for it all in the year that you buy it. Well, the Air Force would have had to give up some other things in their program to buy it. So they said, no, what we're going to do is we're going to lease it. And so it's only like getting a mortgage. We'll pay for it over the next couple of years. Well, then all the committees in Congress passed this till McCain said, wait a second, how can leasing be cheaper than buying? When you got into it, you found out that it was $5-6 billion more to lease them and, then buy them, down the road. And, of course, the Air Force had sort of doctored the analysis to show, that it was really cheaper to lease them. And, because of McCain's efforts, they got the emails, and the emails were incredible. Here you had people in the Office of Management and Budget and the Secretary of the Air Force's office saying, oh, no, let's, fix the numbers to show, that this will be cheaper. And you actually had, the Air Force procurement officer going to jail over the thing.
And so in terms of this happening, in terms of the Congress having the political will, the Republicans and the Democrats having the political will after what Katrina has revealed to us about the what's going on in our society in terms of the haves and the have-nots, the devastation, and the fact that people need jobs down there, can this happen?
Well, again, and as you pointed out in your opening the discussion, they're talking about to pay for Katrina rather than looking at some of these things to take away Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, which is abominable. I mean, if you take a look at where we are right now, this country is spending about, the federal government, about 20% of our gross domestic product, but we're only taking in 16 to 17% because of the tax cuts. When I worked for President Reagan, everybody talked about, him being a tax cutter. We used to take in close to 22% of the gross domestic product. Mm. And, so you could easily, increase the level of taxes, particularly on the wealthy. I mean, if I were in charge, I'd say, look, to pay for this war and for Katrina, everybody making over $100,000 is going to pay, a surtax until we, get out of Iraq and, deal with these things. And that could easily close the gap rather than cutting, these other programs, which just will widen the gap between the haves and the have-nots in our country.
Are there people in the Pentagon that would agree that there's a whole lot of waste? I mean, is that something that they whisper in the corridors, but they keep on trucking with
waste? Well, sure, but I mean, there are people who just, who try and cut things, but it's very difficult. I mean, even Secretary Rumsfeld this year tried to cut back on a plane we call the C-130J, which is a cargo plane. It had all kinds of problems. The darn thing is just not working. And what happened was the Congress turned him down. And even when Dick Cheney, now the Vice President, was Secretary of Defense, he tried to cancel a program called the V-22, which is a what we call a tilt-rotor plane. It takes off like a helicopter and flies like a plane because he said cost and technological problems. He was overridden by the Congress, and here we are, 15 years later. We spent $15 billion. How many working planes we have of those? None. Still not ready to go. Still working out the technological problems, and there are lower cost alternatives. But this, as I say, this is why Eisenhower warned us of the dangers, because you get the military, obviously, and I don't blame them. I mean, they want what they think is best, and for their troops.
Well, I want a sports car, a different sports car for every day of the week, but that doesn't mean I should get
but
one.
But that's why you have civilian control, and you have the Congress is supposed to say, wait a second. This thing is great, but it's more, more money than we need. Instead of getting this fancy thing takes off a helicopter like a plane, let's use one of the existing, helicopters. And in the long run, it hurts the troops, because here we are, this V-22. We've been developing it for 20 years, spent $15 billion. We don't have anything. In the interim, we could have bought a lot of other helicopters for the money we spent developing this one.
15 years?
$15 billion over 20 years.
20 years, $15 billion.
Right, on this helicopter, and there are none actually out with the Marines. The Marines in Iraq and Afghanistan don't have any of these yet.
How is it that people don't lose their jobs over that?
Well, part of the problem, in particularly in this administration, nobody ever takes responsibility for anything.
Hold that thought for a second, because we do have to take a break. I'm sorry. I'm talking to Lawrence Korb. He is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We will be back. I am Liz Brown, and also he was the Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan administration. We'll be back. Stay with us.
And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the International Star Registry. Eastbound 44. Between 141 and 270, look for heavy volume. Northbound 55 in Virginia is slow. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Hanley, look for stop-and-go traffic going on there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry all the way to 44, it is bumper-to-bumper. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for stop-and-go traffic as well. Eastbound 40 from Clarkson all the way into Mason Road, look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 70 between 270 and McKelvey, slow traffic there as well. Westbound 64 between Bowell Avenue and the 5570 merge, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 between Illinois 203 and the Poplar Street Bridge, stop and go traffic due to an accident at 3rd Street has been cleared to the shoulder, but you may see a bit more of a brief backup there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split all the way on to LeCleed's Landing looks slow. Northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is slow as well. Eastbound 30 at Northwest, there's an accident there. Left lane is blocked involving a vehicle into a light pole and traffic jams at New Sugar Creek. Brown at Tutwiler, there's an accident involving a vehicle into a house that's in Berkeley. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by International Star Registry. International Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list. It's the ultimate gift, the International Star Registry, at 1-800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly cloudy day. Thunderstorms possible with a high around 60 this evening. Showers and thunderstorms likely, but then clearing overnight with a low around 45 for the trick-or-treaters. Tuesday, sunshine and beautiful with a high around 62. And Wednesday, warm with a full day of sunshine with a high around the 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under rainy skies, we have 55 degrees. Lambert Field's holding steady at 56 with clouds and rain as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call as she speaks with Lawrence Korb, the senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning on the wake-up call, David Swanson joins Liz Brown. He's co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org, and they're pushing to have President George Bush impeached for starting an illegal war. A new study indicates a majority of Americans favor such a move. We'll talk about that and more of what his group has in the pipeline. And that's Tuesday morning at 7 here on the wake-up call.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. We're talking about trimming fat from the Pentagon budget to help pay for Katrina relief. And to facilitate that conversation, we have Lawrence Korb. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Welcome back.
Nice to be back.
And let me get to a quick caller right quick. Dimitri, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, I do. Mr. Korb, you're talking about trimming back the budget to help the people of Katrina. I have a question to ask you, and I've never heard it ever stated at any time. How much of our taxpayer money is used to buy friends around the world? I know that every year Israel received between $4 and $11 billion yearly. And I know that a lot of money goes into general funds of countries that we want to buy favors from or to buy friendship with. Don't you think we could save a lot of money by not doing those sort of things? I'll hang up and listen to your answer, Mr. Korb.
Yeah, basically what you're spending in terms of assistance around the world is about $20 billion. The caller points out not all of it is humanitarian assistance. I think we ought to be spending more for that to deal with, you know, worldwide problems like AIDS and poverty. But the military assistance is something I think we ought to take a close look at. We're giving several hundred million dollars to Pakistan, and they're really not helping us, go after bin Laden. They're basically, they have this fellow A.Q. Khan who was selling nuclear materials all around the world. They won't let us, debrief them. So I think we have to be careful about some of the money that we spend. Basically, we give money to Israel and Egypt based upon the Camp David Accords that President Carter negotiated back in the late 1970s to bring peace between Israel and Egypt. But I know I am concerned about really countries like, for example, like Pakistan or Uzbekistan, who are basically what I like to call ugly allies, people that you shouldn't be giving them to them just because of the way they treat their people.
But shouldn't there be a more of a concern? Americans are, I think it would be fair to say that Americans are suffering. Americans are suffering in terms of finding jobs, of maintaining jobs, of skyrocketing health care costs, all kinds of ways. And Americans are in a panic for what's going to happen this winter in terms of our gas, our home heating prices. Shouldn't there be a point where we turn inward and we start looking at, okay, yeah, we were helping you, but we need some of this money now, Israel, everybody included in that?
Well, I think that, the situation, foreign aid is certainly ought to, be careful of it, but in terms of the overall budget, it's not nearly as critical as some of the things I've been mentioning. And the other thing is that we ought to be taxing the wealthy more. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is illogical for us to go to war and cut taxes. I mean, the only people really paying for this are the brave young men and women who are, you know, over there, the Garden Reserve who've been called up, and the rest of us is actually paying less. If we don't feel any sacrifice for this, it's going to be hard for us to call our leaders, to account for us. And
but there's also a double sacrifice going on, because yes, the young men and women are paying for it, but the poor are also paying for it when this government is coming back and offering up as a solution to pay for all of this indebtedness, cutting food stamps.
Oh, I agree. And that's why I say we ought to raise taxes on the wealthy. That would be the easiest way. If you just roll back the second and third tax cuts of President Bush, you'd have more than enough to pay for all of this, okay? Not even increase the taxes, but roll back, because don't forget he's had three tax cuts since he's come into office.
Let me get to another caller question. You have a question for our guest.
Yes, Ms. Brown. I'd like to ask your guest if that B-2 he's talking about wasn't originally called the Osprey. I talked to you about it once before, and you seemed surprised when I told you it was about a 20-year project,
mm-hmm.
and the thing has never flown. And I think we've lost some young Marines testing the thing.
Yes, we have.
Wasn't there a group of Marines they tried to see how much it would carry or something?
Yeah, well, what they did is during the 90s, you actually had several Marines killed in crashes as they basically were trying to, quote, push the envelope on this to see, if it could carry out what it.
And the Marines don't want this, I understand.
No, the Marines do want this.
Oh, they do want it.
Yes. Now,
well, I'm misinformed on that.
But what happened, this was originally going to be an Army and Marine program, but then the Army saw the expense and the technological problems. They dropped out.
We don't need the thing.
No, I don't think we do, and I've been saying this, and back when Dick Cheney canceled it in 1990, a reporter asked me, and I said, I don't think it'll stick because, the Marines want it, and it was built in Pennsylvania and Texas and back then.
Which company has that, sir?
It's Bell, Textron, and Boeing.
Well, you want to see how they're connected with certain military personnel.
Well, that's true. I mean, and that's, again, and that's why I mentioned earlier, the military-industrial complex. There are retired military people working on this. And as I say, Dick Cheney and Colin Powell wanted to cancel this thing. You can't think of two more powerful people in this country, and it hasn't been canceled. But ironically, when Cheney was running then for vice president back in 2000 in Pennsylvania, I heard him say, well, he made a mistake, because this thing is being built in Pennsylvania.
Not so ironic. Not so ironic in the terms of a campaign.
Yeah.
And where can people find your report?
If you go on the website, it's called AmericanProgress.org, and you can find that. And it was actually done for a group called Business Leaders for Sensible Priorities, which is a group started by, Ben Cohen of Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream. And he got a whole bunch of business leaders together to talk about what we've been talking about this morning, saying it doesn't make sense to spend this money here when you don't need it, when you've got, other needs in society.
And let me get to one more quick caller here. Yes, you have a question for our guest.
Oh, yes, sir. Do you think these neocons are a descendant from Reagan, or are they an aberration? Thank you.
Okay. No, I don't think they're a descendant from Reagan, but a lot of them did work when I worked for President Reagan. But after a couple of years, President Reagan stopped paying attention to them and, began to make accommodations with the Soviet Union and Gorbachev, and concluded arms control agreements that many of them did not like. And, in fact, they were blaming, Reagan and blaming Nancy for, if you will, getting Reagan to be, in my view, sensible, but in their view, be soft on communism. They were kept out of the first Bush administration. Unfortunately, they do populate the current administration of President Bush, and the only traditional Republican, was Colin Powell, and they ignored him for, a couple of years.
And I want to thank you very much, Lawrence Korb, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. Give us that website one more time, please.
Okay, it's AmericanProgress.org.
Lawrence Korb, thank you so much for joining
us
this
morning. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. I'll be back for your calls and comments. Stay with me. We'll be back.
Sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it. Not even here. No one else want it. If I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break. they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it, I'm done.
This is AM 920, WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Washington. The United States has plans in place to elicit a regime change in Syria. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is on record as saying that President Bush needs no more authority from Congress to make an attack on Syria because of resolutions put into place out of the September 11th attacks. Sanctions were placed on Syria by the U.S. government last year after the U.S. accused it of helping insurgents bring men and material into Iraq. It's also been accused by the U.S. of developing weapons of mass destruction and condemned for its occupation of Lebanon. The Bush administration is trying to find a way to blame Syria for the recent death of Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri. And Dateline Dubai. An Arab TV network reported this past weekend that former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein had wanted to go with a last-minute arrangement that would have permitted him to go into exile in order to prevent the American invasion of his country. The president of the United Arab Emirates, Sheikh Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan, came up with the plan just a few weeks before the war started in March of 2003 at a summit of Arab nations that convened for an emergency meeting. But most other members of the Arab League decided they did not like that idea. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak is quoted as saying the U.S. had also agreed to the idea. The interview also quotes members of the Iraqi delegation who attended that emergency meeting as saying they were not informed that Hussein had given his consent to the deal. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Tuesday morning on the wake-up call, David Swanson joins Liz Brown. He's co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org, and they're pushing to have President George Bush impeached for starting an illegal war. A new study indicates a majority of Americans favor such a move. We'll talk about that and more of what his group has in the pipeline. And that's Tuesday morning at 7 here on the wake-up call.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
St. Louis, for the final time this year, WWE is back.
Oh!
SmackDown Live, Saturday night, November 5th at Savas Center.
The Animal has been unleashed.
In a brutal main event, you'll see the Animal, Batista.
I'm delivering the Batista bomb to you.
You'll defend what Eddie Guerrero burns to have.
I give him the fight of his life.
The World Heavyweight title.
And I'll do anything to get that around my waist.
I'm going
to
whip your ass.
619 is coming back.
And you'll see Rey Mysterio face the self-proclaimed wrestling god, JBL. And St. Louis's own Randy Orton and Cowboy Bob Orton are out for blood.
You will witness the end of a legend. When my father and I have the final say with The Undertaker,
someone will rest in peace. Saturday night, November 5th at Savas Center. Read seats available now at the Savas Center box office, all Ticketmaster outlets, or charge by phone. Go to WWE.com for more details.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers
volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive T-shirt as a thank you.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes. I would like to know, why is it that the only sacrifices I'm being asked to be made is by the American public? When the foreign aid, to me, seems to be such a big, big chunk of our deficit. And we are the first ones to be asked to make the sacrifices, and those people do not contribute to the tax base, and they're never asked to make the sacrifice. Thank you.
Okay, I think that that's a fair observation. I think that's a fair question in terms of the needs of a country. It's almost as if everything is upside down. I think that the statement by Lawrence Korb about how we could pay for this, coming from just rolling back tax cuts to the wealthy, that we could pay for just about everything. That should make you just really, really just take a pause of how much of a giveaway that we gave. What did we give away? And also, things were just juxtapose this next to the theory. These big tax cuts for corporations and for the wealthiest were supposed to make your life better. How many of you out here can say that as a result of these tax cuts, that your life is better in any meaningful, sustaining way? A $200 check from your federal government 4 years ago, I don't think... If that $200 check was meaningful and sustaining, you in a whole lot of trouble. And you should be the first person saying, roll back the tax cuts. You know, the Democrats should create a commercial with the little bouncing Walmart little smiley face, the rollback thing. They should do a rollback commercial for these taxes. Roll them back. Roll back these tax cuts. Roll them back. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And I just want to remind you that the wake for Marlon Gray, who was executed just last week, his wake is today at Ronald Jones's funeral home on West Florissant from 5 to 8 o'clock tonight. The funeral is tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Peter's at Margarita and Shreve. It will be an open casket from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. The burial will immediately follow the funeral, and then back at St. Peter's Church at Margarita and Shreve. The funeral, again, is 10 a.m., and if you're doing flowers, peace lilies is what they are asking for. It's important that everybody come out and demonstrate their support for Marlon's family. An innocent man was executed at the hands of this government. And so many politicians, and the reason why I'm mentioning politicians' names is because this is a political act. An execution, a murder on behalf of the state, is a political act. It could not take place but for political actions. So for political people to stand to the side of this, to stand down on this, to walk away from this, to participate in this, is untenable. And the response from those of us that are out here watching them do that, the response from us needs to be political as well. We need to engage in a political act against those that have allowed this to happen because, in case you didn't know, Jay Nixon has looked in your face and expelled political spittle in your face. And he has said, I plan on setting another execution date of another one of these young men on the Chain of Rocks case in 2 weeks. Marlon Gray's wake is tonight at Ronald Jones' funeral home from 5 to 8. The funeral is tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Peter's at Margarita and Shreve. And please don't forget, the blanket drive is also coming up. We need your help. It's going to be a cold winter. And not only is it going to be a cold winter, it's going to be a winter where there have never been as many people in need. With heating prices going up 40%. With people getting their gas cut off already. We need to warm people. We need to do what we can. So I'm asking for volunteers. We need volunteers. Give us a call here at 454-6660, 454-6660 to volunteer. 18th and the 19th of November at Carver House. You can start bringing your blankets, too. You can get $5 blankets at Kmart. You can start bringing your blankets to right here, to 265 Union. We'll take them over to Carver House if you can't make it on the 18th and the 19th. We're taking your calls in the next hour. Stay with us. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back after the news.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. The president nominates a federal judge with an extensive paper trail to take the place of Justice Sandra Day O'Connor on the Supreme Court. Judge Samuel Alito of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia, a popular choice with conservatives.
Judge Alito is one of the most accomplished and respected judges in America. And his long career in public service has given him an extraordinary breadth of experience.
Though, says ABC's Ann Compton, this nominee will likely stir up strong reaction from both sides.
The president knows that Judge Samuel Alito isn't quite the conservative lightning rod that maybe some of his other potential picks could have been, but he's also opening himself up to some cries already from Democrats in Congress that he's making the Supreme Court into an old boys club. This is another white male judge in his mid-50s with an Ivy League background.
Matt Cooper, Time Magazine's White House correspondent, key player in the CIA leak investigation, expects to testify in the trial of Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff, Louis Libby, though it was Bush advisor Karl Rove, whom he says first spoke about a covert CIA agent at the center of the investigation.
We don't even know if Karl Rove's going to be indicted. I guess he remains under some kind of scrutiny by the prosecutor, but the prosecutor's chosen thus far not to do anything, and we'll see. And, if called, I'll be a witness and just truthfully recount, as I did in the grand jury, what happened.
Cooper on ABC's Good Morning America. In Iraq, militants have taken more American lives, says ABC's Jim Sciutto in Baghdad.
The six U.S. soldiers were killed in two separate attacks, one in Yusufiya, southwest of Baghdad, the other in Balad.
Both in roadside bombings. Thousands of people have been paying their respects to Rosa Parks, whose body will lie in honor at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda for another hour before this afternoon's public memorial service in D.C. This is ABC News.
I'm Ben, and this is Psychic Connection, your source for spirits and paranormal. The caller is Meredith.
Ben, what's the easiest way to get around a city I've never been to?
The answer is kind of murky.
For the easiest route to any address in America, you want to ask TomTom, not Ben Ben.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Easily moved from car to car. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com. With that kind of speed, that kind of strength, it's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels are faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. And Advil Liquid Gels, the only leading brand with real liquid inside. Rush relief right to where you need it. It's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels. Liquid fast, Advil strong.
Brands are trademarks of their respective owners. Use as directed.
No new talks are scheduled in the Philadelphia Transit Union strike that has thousands of commuters scrambling for another way to and from work. It's a heavy weight, especially for a paperback, a new and extremely thorough Beatles bio, due to hit the shelves soon. ABC's Karen Chase.
Paperback writer.
That's what Bruce Springsteen's former manager Bob Spitz has become after writing an exhaustive book called The Beatles, The Biography. Spitz wrote it after his own magical mystery tour of the band's old haunts in Liverpool, where he lived a day in the life.
I read the news today.
In over 800 pages, Spitz details the Fab Four's personal and professional lives and how they changed the world. Quite a turnaround for Spitz, who as a child was beaten up for calling the Beatles no-talent bums who wouldn't last. Karen Chase, ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett, ABC News.
I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News. This report brought to you by GM Certified Used Vehicles. No worries. Here's a look at the news. Parents can use a new tool to keep their kids safe tonight as they trick-or-treat and every night. Senate President Pro Tem Michael Gibbons says legislation passed earlier this year now allows the state's sex offender registry to be searched by name and address.
The whole point of the registry is to allow parents to protect their children by knowing. And knowledge is a very powerful weapon. And knowing where these people are and that they are sex offenders, there's reason to be concerned, and then you can just avoid it and make sure there's not a problem.
In addition to new search techniques, pictures of some of the sex offenders are posted on the website. To view the state's sex offender registry, log on to www.mshp.dps.missouri.gov. In other news this morning, the cleanup continues following a crash involving an Amtrak train and a car in Pacific, Missouri. Fire crews, emergency personnel, and a medical examiner were called to the scene late last night. Initial reports indicated there were at least two passengers in the car which collided with the train. No train passengers are reported injured at this time, and there's no word on how many people were aboard the Amtrak train, which was headed from Kansas City to St. Louis. One man's dead and two others are injured after a triple shooting in East St. Louis. Police say the men were shot with an AK-47 in the 1600 block of North 47th Street early Saturday morning. The search continues for suspects and a motive. An 18-year-old Cedar Hill woman is dead after being ejected from a car in a weekend crash. The woman was a passenger in a car traveling on eastbound Interstate 44 at about 7:30 yesterday morning. The car struck a highway sign and overturned when it exited approximately 1 mile west of Route W. Also, a 17-year-old woman and an 18-year-old man are recovering from injuries sustained during that crash. And the Animal Protective Association of Missouri is urging people to keep their dogs and cats safe this Halloween. Sarah Wilt, the Director of Education for the APA, says there are a few simple rules to follow to keep your furry family members safe.
Try to bring your pet inside for the evening. You really don't want your pet to become the victim of someone's bad intentions, because pranksters can tease, injure, steal, or even kill pets on this night.
Wilt says it's especially important to keep black cats inside because they can be the object of satanic or occult activity. Wilt says pets should be kept away from Halloween candy and jack-o'-lanterns. It's also a good idea to keep your pets home if you go out trick-or-treating and keep them away from the trick-or-treaters who come to the door.
That's a check of WGNU News. This report brought to you by GM Certified Used Vehicles. Let GM Certified take the worry out of buying your next used vehicle. To learn more and find a dealer near you, visit GMCertified.com. GM Certified, no worries. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain, there's an accident reported, and traffic is bumper to bumper from near that point all the way to West Florissant Road. Northbound 55 between Rivers Parish and 44, heavier than normal. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Blanchette is running smoothly. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Hanley, stop and go. Northbound 270 from Teslon Ferry to 44 is stop and go as well. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, that traffic is finally easing up. Westbound 70 at 55 in the depressed section, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge, or westbound 5570 traffic from Illinois 203 to PSB, look for stop and go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split to Laclede's Landing looks for slow traffic as well. Northbound Route 3, that ramp from Queenie onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Lindell at Taylor, there's an injury accident. Route 109 at Alt Road, there's an accident. Vanaventer at 44, there's an accident involving a bus. One lane is blocked in both directions. And Doolin Creek at Timberline Drive, there's an injury accident in Jefferson County. Also, Page between 270 and Westport Plaza, there's an injury accident. Two left lanes are blocked at this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Southwest Airlines. Fly to Fort Myers, Naples from St. Louis on one of Southwest Airlines' three new daily flights. Whether you're flying for business or pleasure, Southwest can get you there. Visit southwest.com today for more information. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly cloudy day, chance for thunderstorms, otherwise a high around 60. This evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely for Halloween, but then clearing overnight with a low around 45. Tuesday, sunshine with a high around 60. Tuesday evening, clear skies with a low around 45. And Wednesday, warm sunshine and warm with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 57 degrees under cloudy skies with rain. Lambert Field is also reporting 57 with clouds and rain as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. We do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how
can this happen? The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. In the next hour, Mondays at 9, we're going to have two authors who've written a book, Einstein on Race and Racism, Fred Jerome and Roger Taylor, written a book on Einstein on race and racism. We're going to be talking about what he said, and I think it's going to be interesting to talk about some things he's also said about war, about why we go to war, what we should be doing. It's kind of a timely book. Einstein on Race and Racism, Fred Jerome and Roger Taylor are going to be our guests in the next hour. But I want to get to you right now. Talk about some things that I don't know. I was thinking about the inhumaneness of folks and where it takes us to. If you are like George Bush, putting firecrackers in frogs as a child and blowing them up, as the good doctor and the author of the book Bush on the Couch let us know, that that's one of some of the things that George Bush did as a child. If you do that, that type of worldview, that type of understanding, that type of behavior lands somewhere. You become a manner of a certain type of manner of man or woman, or you are a certain type of man or woman. And if you are an individual that does that, if you are a child that does that, there are psychologists all over the world that will tell you, you will grow into an adult that does certain things as well. You will be tolerant of, you will be not feeling of, you will be able to embrace or even to stand certain types of behavior. And you also seek out the types of people that blew up, put firecrackers in frogs when they were little too. And I look at the cost of this type of behavior on our country and what it says about us. There are people that laugh at Guantanamo Bay Jail and call it, what is it, Camp Gitmo or something like that. They sell T-shirts embracing that and saying that it's a vacation home. Well, a district judge, Gladys Kessler, doesn't think so. There are attorneys that are representing scores of people that have been arrested and been held in Guantanamo Bay Jail. They're on a hunger strike. And this district judge, Gladys Kessler, has ordered the United States government to give medical records going back a week because the attorneys for the people that are arrested and being held at Guantanamo Bay are saying that their clients are being force-fed. Our good government says that 26 detainees are on a hunger strike. A group that's been monitoring what's going on has said that it's up to 150 to 200 of the 500 prisoners. Our good government says that the hunger strikes are clinically stable. The conflicting story to that is that some of the individuals, some of the detainees are in grave peril. There are accusations that the United States is force feeding its prisoners to deliberately harm the detainees. Check this out. The accusations are this. That large tubes, that large tubes are being stuck in the detainees' noses and into their stomachs without anesthesia or sedatives to force feed. The accusations are that guards are force feeding folks. Does this sound like somebody sticking firecrackers in frogs and giggling in glee? This sounds like this is the sound of frogs being blown up by firecrackers. Most of the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, at a United States naval base in southern Cuba, have been held for more than 3 years without being charged. Judge Kessler spoke of, quote, deeply troubling allegations of force feedings in which they have had tubes stuck down there. Can you imagine? Just stay with me for a second. Imagine someone laying you down, strapping you down, and sticking a tube up your nose and into your stomach without any kind of sedative or anesthesia. Without being anesthetized. Is that what we stand for? Oh, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. The judge has ordered that the United States must notify the lawyers at least 24 hours before force feedings begin and also provide the information at least weekly until suspects are no longer being fed by force. Huh? Why are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? Well, let me just remind you of something to be frightened of. Condoleezza Rice saying that I don't need to go back to Congress to get permission to invade Syria. Y'all already gave it when you gave us the authority to go into Iraq. Are you scared yet? Are you scared about our good government talking about invading Syria? How on earth could we be talking about invading anybody anybody. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I forgot. Nothing like a little distraction of a war to keep people from focusing on your inadequacies. And here's my theory. Here's my theory on distractions. I think that this is an administration that understands the power of and has been successful with the power of distraction. And here's how desperate they are to engage in that distraction policy. I submit to you that this new Supreme Court nominee, a man who has been described as Scalia Light, just like Scalia, a man that's going to say that certain people's religion can be celebrated on your taxpayer paid for places. This is the theory. This is my theory. This is my theory. That the strategy is the Republicans want a good partisan fight. Why do they want a good partisan fight? Because they want to remind their base, because the poll numbers right now are showing that Americans are preferring Democrats to Republicans. How do you get Americans not to like Democrats? You get them involved in a good old partisan fight. The partisan fight will remind the conservative base of why they don't like the Democrats and why they want to be with the Republicans. So the strategy is to get a partisan fight out so that there can be at least some negative stuff on the airwaves about Democrats. Because think about it. There's been a vacuum. There has been, you can't, you know, the Scooter Libby, Karl Rove thing is taking Clinton out their mouth. They can't even say Clinton anymore. Because you can't say Bill Clinton and then talk about Scooter's stuff not being a crime, huh? Scooter has taken Clinton up out their mouth. And what are they going to do if they can't bang on the Bill Clinton drum? They need to come. And just think about it. There has been no negative Democratic stuff out there. They haven't been able to separate themselves in any kind of positive way from the Democrats. They need some new evidence fresh in the minds of their constituents of why the Republicans are better than the Democrats. They need some face time by Democrats beating up on Republicans. You can't whip up your base when your base is demoralized by your own rotten doing. Give me a Democrat saying something about a negative about a Republican. They don't. This is an amazing place where the Republican Party finds itself in today. They need a partisan fight that may end up as the nuclear option being exercised and the Congress being fundamentally, basically shut down. Feel me on this, folks. The Republicans have put forth, this George W. Bush has introduced, recommended the next Supreme Court nominee as a man who says that a woman must get permission from her husband if she is going to have an abortion. She must get permission from him. Are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Please don't forget, Marlon Gray's wake is today at Ronald Jones from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. The funeral is tomorrow at St. Peter's at Margarita and Shreve at 11 a.m. The burial will follow the funeral and then back at St. Peter's. Marlon Gray's wake is today. 5 to 8, and the funeral is tomorrow at 11 a.m. The flowers are peace lilies. The family, the pastor that will be officiating will be his brother, And then also Reverend Mike Jones from Friendly Temple will also be in the funeral tomorrow at St. Peter's at Margarita and Shreve. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Liz. How are you doing?
Oh, Charles Quincy Troop. Good morning.
Girl, I was listening to you this morning, and I was doing some numbers while you were talking about the prophets of Exxon. Do you know that, so I'm going to show you just how scandalous these prophets are. If you took the state of Missouri and 50% of the, 60% of the southern states, their total tax base is not $10 billion.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Missouri's budget, our budget is about $20 billion. 60% of that money is federal money.
Mm-hmm.
If you took that out of the equation, our total budget could only pay for education and social services, period.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a private company that has a profit
of almost $10
billion,
$10 billion. Quincy. A quarterly profit of $10 billion, the largest profit in the history of corporations on the face of the earth, the United States of America.
And I'm telling you, that is four times the size of the total tax revenue, general revenue, for the state of Missouri. Because our total revenue, our general revenue, is about half of the federal budget, less than half of our total budget. Which would make and it's right under $20 billion.
And let me put this in another kind of
so
perspective.
So if you look at it, it's four times that of the state of Missouri. It's $40 billion over a year.
Let me put it another way. ExxonMobil, and this is just one company, it's not the industry, it's one company. ExxonMobil has hauled in more profits in 3 months than Coca-Cola, Intel, Time Warner, in more profits than they earn in an entire year.
And my point is, and that's more money, income, than 40% of the state's general revenue in the country.
It's scandalous. It is absolutely outrageous. And if the Democrats don't hop on this, and there's a reason why gas prices are going down. It doesn't make any sense, right? We still have the same problems that we had a month ago, don't we?
No, we have greater problems.
Greater problems. Then why are gas prices going down?
Well, because I think people are becoming
The oil companies are on a PR campaign right now.
Well, I understand that too, but I'm saying, but the people are beginning to complain.
I understand people are complaining, but the oil companies, they're trying to get people to stop looking at their profits, and they're dropping these prices.
Oh, but that's not. I don't see how. Just like, you know, if you look at all of the raises that the people at Metro received in the last year and going to receive in the next 3 years, the oil prices and the health care costs have wiped out all of that.
There
you
go.
So they're really going to be at a negative this year rather than a positive.
Mm.
And that's most of the workers, I would say, in
people need to lose. People need to lose their minds.
They need to
people
start
lose their minds.
Registering and getting ready for the real war, and that's going to be to get these Republicans out of office.
And some of these Democrats, too, Chris?
Well, you know, you got to get them first,
okay.
You know, because the Democrats are really crazy. When you look at Jay Nixon, and I'm going to say this now, everybody see what happened to Mr. Gray.
Martin.
And everybody say that what happened to him was totally and completely insane. But when it comes time for the black people to vote next year, when Jay Nixon is on that ballot, or when Jay Nixon run for governor, they're going to be all of these black elected officials, preachers, leaders that's going to endorse it. And I'm saying that now way in front of what's going to happen. So they will be aware of the fact that when they bring him back, just remember this. Remember Mr. Gray. Remember Marlon Gray. And when you look at that, then you're going to see the picture on the wall. It's going to be real clear that they look at us as emotional animals, and that we will forget or forgive, and that won't be an issue.
Well, here's the thing.
But if Nixon was the governor, he would have done the same thing because he's doing now as attorney general.
That's right. Now, he's doing now when he doesn't have to.
That's what I'm saying.
He's doing now when he doesn't have to.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thanks for your call, Clint.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I'll be back.
Piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell low. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you want?
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Eastbound Page between 270 and Westport Plaza, there's an injury accident. Three left lanes are blocked. And traffic jams in Bennington. Westbound 270 between Lilac and Bell Fountain. Look for an accident involving a tractor trailer. Two left lanes are blocked. Traffic is backed up coming off of the Chain of Rocks Bridge. Westbound 44 at Arsenal. There's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 55 between River DePere and 44 has returned back to normal. Eastbound 70 from Zumbel all the way to 270 is flowing freely. Eastbound 40 between Clayton, Warson, and Hanley. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravoy all the way to 44 is stop-and-go. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes all the way in to 79. Look for that traffic to be easing. Westbound 40 between Clayton, Skinker, and Hanley, we've got slow traffic. Westbound 44 from Grand to Vanaventer. Look for slow traffic in the right lane due to an accident on southbound Vanaventer. Northbound 170 between Galleria Parkway and Forest Park Parkway. Look for road construction. Right lane is closed and traffic backs up at 40. Westbound 40 at Bow Avenue all the way into the 5570 merge. That's actually 64. You have that traffic easing. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Still stop and go traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 split all the way to Cleves Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. That traffic's easing. Southbound Vanaventer at 44 is closed due to an accident involving a school bus. Thornton Street at 44, there's an accident. That's out in Pacific. And northbound Jefferson Street at Park, there's an injury. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Start the day off with a warm McGriddle sandwich and a great cup of coffee. I'm loving it. McDonald's. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly cloudy day. A couple of thunderstorms, high around 60 this evening. Showers or thunderstorms likely on Halloween, otherwise clearing by the overnight hours with a low around 45. Tuesday, sunny with a high around 60. Tuesday evening, clear skies with a low around 45. And then on Wednesday, sunshine, warm with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 58 degrees and clouds with some rain. Lambert Field is reporting 59 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual Blanket Drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Come enjoy Inspecting Carol by Daniel Sullivan at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves, 517 Theater Lane in Webster, November 4th through 6th and 10th through the 13th. Shows are 8 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Sundays. For more information, call 962-0876. Inspecting Carol at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves, 962-0876.
Take on the day and take on Dr. Laura Schlesinger on the internet at WGNU.net.
Tuesday morning at 8 here on the Wake Up Call, we're going to take another look at the so-called Leakgate scandal from another angle. New York Times reporter Judith Miller says she went to jail to protect her source, who turned out to be Scooter Libby. But was she really just protecting him from a perjury charge? How do you expose corruption by protecting the corrupt? That's our focus with Steve Rendell, senior analyst with Fair and Accuracy in Reporting, Tuesday at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
And a rough way to go. Said it's a hard road to travel, and a rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed, my mind's made up. I'll never stop, and my faith will see me through. Let me tell you.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. Barbara, good morning.
Oh, hi Liz.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I was just calling to see, which Ronald Jones was it?
The Ronald Jones on West Florissant?
Which Ronald Jones funeral home is it?
Huh?
Which Ronald Jones funeral home is it? Because there's two of them.
The one on West Florissant.
Okay.
The one on West Florissant.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, sister?
I'm outstanding.
Okay, my name is Brother Shu, and I was just wondering if you had got the letter that I sent you. Hello?
What letter?
I had sent you a WBP CD, and I didn't know if you had gotten it, but I sent it to the radio station, so they give it to you. It's in a brown package, and I just wanted to know that I know you talk a lot about education, but here lately I had just found out not too long ago about the Republic of New Africa and Dr. Robert Brock. So, you know, that's some education that our young people need to know about, too.
There's always information to put out there.
Yes, ma'am. And I was just calling to say you're doing a pretty good job, you know.
A pretty good job, huh? All right.
Oh, well, you know, I don't get a chance to listen to it too much because I'm a construction worker. So.
Okay, well, you need to listen to it. You can always check up on listening on it to on any show that you miss at whiterosesociety.org. You can listen to it every single day. If you miss an hour, you can go get an hour. So there won't be any excuses of you didn't get a chance to hear it, and there won't be any pretty good assessments, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
All
well,
right.
You're doing a great job.
All right.
I had talked to a brother, Brother Alvin Brown, about the Republic of New Africa, and that's some information that, you know,
he said
one day you might have him on your talk show. So.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your call on that.
Hotel, sister.
Take care. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Carfo.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
My name is Janice, and I first want to apologize for my ignorance. However, I was wondering, the billions of quarterly dollars in profit that ExxonMobil has made, will that affect the gas utility also?
Well, the interesting thing to know is that the ExxonMobil and the other gasoline car companies also own a lot of the natural gas as well. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You know, and you didn't have to ask me that, and I didn't have to tell folks that, but there's worse news coming. There is worse news coming.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. And I just want to remind people of the story that our last car phone was referring to. This is just so foul. It's so foul. It's so foul. It's so obscene. ExxonMobil has earned the largest quarterly profit in the history of our nation. Take all of the, during the robber baron years, just during the time when you could do anything to anybody, any corporate, the highest corporate quarterly profit in the history of our nation. Nearly a hop, skip, and a kiss away from $10 billion profit in one quarter. One quarter profit. One quarter profit. Are you feeling me? Now, the Bush administration being the, what is that technical legal term? The Bush administration is being a good stooge for the gas companies. They're saying that they are working to lower skyrocketing fuel prices. $10 billion quarterly profit. And y'all, please, I mean, let me try to break this down just a bit more so that it stays forever broke down. Quarterly is not 4 years, like out of 25 years worth of profit. Okay, quarterly is not 4 years. Quarterly is within the course of 12 months. Quarterly means 1/4. You divide 4 into 12, what you get? 3 months. You look at 3 months in terms of days, we're talking about 90 days. We're talking about, what, $75 a minute? These folks are making, and if you are a like a lot of folks out here, get paid once a month. That's three paychecks. That's three paychecks. These people have earned profit. Now, profit is not how much money they brought in. Profit is what you make after you take out all of your expenses, all of the cost, and you factor in all of the negative stuff. Profit is all of the bad stuff taken out. This is $10 billion in 3 months worth of charging you gas prices at the same time they're telling you.
Katrina made us do it.
Same time that they're telling us, we can't get the oil in here. We don't have refineries. Well, man, you don't even need a refinery. You don't need any more refineries if you're taking it. What would be the incentive to this company to build one more refinery when you made $10 billion in profit? There is no, you'd be a fool, and I'd call you a fool to build another refinery. Now, why would you build another refinery? You made $10 billion without one in one quarter. The largest profit in the history of this country. Quarterly profit of a corporation.
And let me just underscore this last piece. That's just one oil company. That's just one oil company.
How'd your paycheck look the last 3 months? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. How'd your paycheck look? Y'all doing all right? Okay, I won't say that no more. Y'all doing all right? I'll be back. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get to me. Yeah, Papa do have. Oh, yeah. I'll be back.
Papa may have. But God bless the child that's got his own. That's got his own.
Congratulations, you found Radio Free St. Louis online at WGNU.net. Remember, we're also at 920 on your AM dial in the St. Louis metropolitan area.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Montreal.
A Canadian Islamic organization says it may sue the Canadian government over its no-fly lists. The Canadian Islamic Congress says that placing any Canadian citizen on such a list mistakenly, on the basis of wrong information, will cause harm to that person. Furthermore, it's the responsibility of the Federal Transportation Minister and the government to protect Canadians against abuse by foreign states. Canada is in the process of setting up no-fly lists by using information compiled from the U.S. and other countries. The Islamic Congress says the government needs to specify how people will be notified when their names go on such lists. Recently, a non-Muslim professor had his name put on the roll for no apparent reason. Another Muslim group earlier this year accused Canadian security agencies of using intimidation tactics and aggressive behavior against Canadian Muslims under the guise of fighting terrorism. And Dateline Washington. Newly released documents from the Army indicate that branch of service was involved in dumping chemical weapons into the ocean in greater volume than ever before reported. Some 64 million pounds of nerve and mustard gas were disposed of into the sea, as well as almost 500,000 bombs, landmines, and rockets that had chemical agents in them. Also, some 500 tons of radioactive waste were sent to the bottom of the ocean by either being thrown overboard or put into the holds of ships that were subsequently sunk. There are 26 zones around the continental U.S. where the disposal took place between World War II and 1970 when Congress ended the practice. There could very well be more dump zones, as records from World War I have not been looked at yet, and it's known that ocean dumping of chemical weapons was the accepted way to dispose of them back then. An old Army artillery shell was pulled to the surface by a clam dredging operation last year off the coast of New Jersey. It turned out to be full of mustard gas, and several people from the bomb disposal team were injured when they became exposed to the chemical. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Ever hear of the Restore?
Yeah, where is it?
3763 Forest Park Avenue, east of Anaventor, west of Spring.
What's in the Restore?
It's an eclectic mix of new and used building materials.
Like cabinets, stoves, hardware?
Absolutely. Everything from windows and doors to the kitchen sink, and then some.
And your purchases benefit Habitat for Humanity St. Louis, right?
Yes, they do.
I gotta check this out. When's the Restore open?
Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 4.
3763 Forest Park Avenue.
The Restore. Check it out.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard, and at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Wake up.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget, we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And also, if you can miss an hour, that's okay. You can go get an hour. If you miss an hour, that's okay. You can go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. I don't know. I think it's simple. I think George W. Bush should apologize. I think Dick Cheney should apologize. I think that they should apologize for their AIDS actions. Scoot a Libby. Scoot it on up to 5 charges, 5 crimes. Here's the thing. These Republicans are now going to stick hard to the whole logic of I need to be charged and convicted before anything is wrong. Okay, all right. But you ran into office, you came into office saying that you were going to bring honor and integrity back to the White House, right? You were going to be the moral barometer and rise to the occasion of moral on the side of morality. We're talking about the not only actions engaged in that are immoral, reprehensible, and put our country at great risk. But we're also talking about the appearance of it. Your aides were mad at an American citizen by the name of Joseph Wilson. Joseph Wilson IV. Joseph C. Wilson. And because they were mad at this aide, they tried to punish his wife. Another American. Another American engaged in a pretty big sacrifice. The sacrifice of having a normal job. Yeah, she asked a lot. She was going to live undercover for the rest of her life. She would have lied to her family for the rest of their life on behalf of her country. And so she has given a huge sacrifice to this country, and your aides compromised her. Your aides went after her because they were mad at her husband. Your aides engaged in political payback. They told you that they weren't involved, that they didn't know anything about it. They lied to you. So it seems to me that the most moral presidency in the history of this country, right? The one that cares about life, right? The one that cares about family values, right? It seems to me that the moral thing to do would be to say, you know what? This is unacceptable. My administration doesn't stand for this. I'm going to apologize on behalf of these reckless, irresponsible, lawless men for doing stuff in my name, and I'm going to ask them to step aside. Now, we know that ain't going to happen. We know that's not going to happen. But the issue is not whether or not it will happen. The issue is whether or not folks will demand that it happen. Because this is really a commentary on what we stand for. What kind of a country we say that we want. What kind of a country we say that we have. These are not people that have been elected into office. Karl Rove wasn't elected into office. Scooter Libby wasn't elected into office. They are the appointments of people that, I guess, weren't elected into office either, but that aside,
they're still there by the appointment of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. And the buck stops with them. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. I want to remind you that the wake for Marlon Gray is today. Marlon Gray, who was executed, murdered by our government, innocent man, put to death by the hands of Jay Nixon and the man-child, Matt Blunt. Marlon Gray, the wake is tonight from 5 to 8 at Ronald Jones on West Florissant. And the funeral is tomorrow at St. Peter's at Margareta and Shreve at 11 a.m. The burial will be at Lake St. Charles and then back to St. Peter's. The flowers you can send would be peace lilies. His brother will be officiating along with Reverend Mike Jones from Friendly Temple. That's tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Peter's. Folks, we have much to talk about. In the next hour, we're going to be talking to the authors of Einstein on Race and Racism, Fred Jerome and Roger Taylor. What did Einstein think about race? Let's talk about that when we come back. Mary, you have a quick comment? Nope, we don't, and we're going to take a break, folks. I'll be back at you with Mondays at 9 when we talk to authors Fred Jerome and Roger Taylor on the book Einstein on Race and Racism.
Was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say the progress that you made. You took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, feel the brothers.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. President Bush picks a Supreme Court nominee with a track record that conservatives love. Federal Appeals Court Judge Samuel Alito.
He understands that judges are to interpret the laws, not to impose their preferences or priorities on the people.
Alito, 55 years old, lives in New Jersey. He's a product of Princeton and Yale and says,
I am deeply honored to be nominated to serve on the Supreme Court. And I am very grateful for the confidence that you have shown in me.
Alito's claim to fame while serving on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia, an argument that women should get their husband's permission before getting an abortion. ABC political correspondent George Stephanopoulos says there will be a Catholic majority on the High Court if Alito is confirmed.
The Supreme Court will have 5 Catholics on the bench. 5 out of 9 justices will be Catholic. John Roberts, Anthony Kennedy, Clarence Thomas, of course Justice Scalia, and if Samuel Alito gets in, he'll be the 5th.
And Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says the Senate must find out if Alito is too radical for the American people. Militants in Iraq have launched more deadly attacks on Americans. ABC's Jim Sciutto in Baghdad says 6 U.S. soldiers were killed in 2 separate roadside bombings.
The 6 soldiers killed today by roadside bombs, improvised explosive devices, as the military calls them. Commanders here have been saying for some time how much bigger and more sophisticated they're getting, able even to penetrate armored vehicles. 15 U.S. soldiers in 5 days have been killed by roadside bombs like these.
Members of Congress joining folks from all over who've come to Washington to pay respects to the late Rosa Parks, lying in honor at the Capitol Rotunda.
She just took a great chance, you know, a chance no one else would take during that time.
A public memorial for Parks will be held this afternoon in Washington. This is ABC News.
I'm Ben, and this is Psychic Connection, your source for spirits and paranormal. The caller is Meredith.
Ben, what's the easiest way to get around a city I've never been to?
The answer is kind of murky.
For the easiest route to any address in America, you want to ask TomTom, not BenBen.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Easily moved from car to car. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com. With that kind of speed, that kind of strength, it's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels are faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. And Advil Liquid Gels, the only leading brand with real liquid inside. Rush relief right to where you need it. It's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels. Liquid fast, Advil strong.
Brands are trademarks of their respective owners. Use as directed.
It's okay to be frightful again on Halloween, says ABC's Donna Renee, who's conducted an unscientific survey of who's wearing what.
What are you going for Halloween?
A dead bride.
Yep, spooky, kooky, and altogether ooky are in again following a vacation of sorts after 9/11. Sarah Haslam at the Egg Harbor, New Jersey Halloween Adventure Store says slasher movie characters are back with a vengeance.
Scream, always number one. Jason, Freddy. It's that one holiday out of the year where you can act scary and no one's going to, you know, yell at you for it.
One theme that isn't selling this year, however, Mardi Gras. Donna Renee, ABC News.
Lingering concerns about safety a week after Hurricane Wilma mean a somewhat limited Halloween for many kids in South Florida. Power outages still affect much of the area a week after the storm struck, and debris is piled high in some front yards, making walking after dark dangerous. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
With a report of WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston. This report brought to you by McDonald's. The cleanup continues following a crash involving an Amtrak train and a car in Pacific, Missouri. Fire crews, emergency personnel, and a medical examiner were called to the scene late last night. Initial reports indicated at least two passengers were injured in the car that collided with the train. No train passengers were reported injured at this time, and there's no word on how many people were aboard the Amtrak train that was headed from Kansas City to St. Louis. In other news, eight people are in custody after a shooting at the Midwest Recreation Center early Sunday morning. Investigators say one person was shot in the knee and another was shot in the foot following a dance at the North St. Louis County site. The incident remains under investigation. In other news, Congress is honoring a nationwide network of blood banks, including the Community Blood Center of St. Louis. The U.S. House approved a resolution last week to honor America's blood centers for their role in maintaining the nation's blood supply. Chris Broadus, the director of the Community Blood Center of St. Louis, says the blood bank's nationwide communication system came into play in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina when the Blood Center of New Orleans was flooded.
Other local America's blood centers around the country picked up local hospitals that the Blood Center of New Orleans had been serving, and then that blood was sent directly to those hospitals through a hub system.
In addition to joining nationwide disaster relief efforts, the Community Blood Center of St. Louis provides some of the blood supply for several area hospitals. For information on giving blood or organizing a blood drive, call 314-291-4741. Two people are recovering after a weekend accident in South St. Louis County. A Colloride van and a car collided on Telegraph Road early Sunday morning. Both drivers sustained serious injuries. And autopsy results are pending on a 9-year-old Belleville girl who died suddenly last week while sitting in class at Whiteside Elementary School. Whiteside School District Superintendent Peggy Burke says Taylor Jennings suddenly collapsed after lunch. Burke says as far as she knows, there was no pre-existing medical condition, and Taylor had not suffered any type of injury. School district officials say the school nurse tried to revive Taylor, as did paramedics, but the little girl was pronounced dead a short time later at a local hospital. Funeral arrangements are pending. And that's a check of WGNU News, brought to you by McDonald's. Start your day off with a warm McGriddles sandwich and a great cup of coffee. I'm loving it. Reporting WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Comtrax. Eastbound Page between 270 and Westport Plaza. That accident has been cleared, but there may be a brief tie-up. Westbound 270 between Lilac and West Florissant. That accident is also cleared. Southbound 270 at Page. There's an object on the roadway believed to be some metal debris. Use caution. Northbound 55 between Carondelet and Lafayette. No problems to report. Eastbound 44 from 141 and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way into the Blanchett Bridge. Everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley. You've got heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. And westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It is stop and go this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 onto Laclede's Landing. Everything is very heavy this hour. 67 south at Route 110, there's a report of an injury accident. Union Boulevard at Theodosia, there's a report of an accident. And in both directions, 255 at Camp Jackson, look for road construction over on the east side, as well as in both directions, 64 between 158 and Agreement Road. There's also road construction. There will be one lane closed during off-peak hours. St. Charles Rock Road at Cypress, look for work, construction work going on in the right turn lane is closed this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Comtrex. Comtrex Deep Chest Cold has the ingredient specifically designed to break up stubborn chest congestion and relieve sore throats and coughing. Comtrex knocks out every kind of cold symptom. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Mostly cloudy day, a chance for a couple of thunderstorms, otherwise a high around 60. This evening for Halloween, look forward to a shower or a possible thunderstorm, then clearing overnight with a low around 45. Tuesday, sunshine with a high around 60. Tuesday evening, clear skies with a low around 45. And Wednesday, sunny, warm with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 59 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 60 degrees, both under cloudy skies with some drizzle. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Mondays at 9. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go? It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I'm
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome to this week's edition of Mondays at 9. I am Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. We are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Also, if you've missed an hour of the wake-up call, that's all right. Don't panic. You can get to whiterosesociety.org, whiterosesociety.org, and pick up any hour that you may have missed. My email is also revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. I am looking at an article this morning, an article about Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton talking someplace here in the United States. Bill Clinton giving advice to citizens that were listening. That Democrats cannot afford to be scared, that they need to confront the wrongs that they see head on. And the wrongs that he mentioned were Republican opposition to abortion or Republican opposition to other issues. But he said that you cannot afford to be scared in these times, and you must not be afraid of a fight. I read that article with great disappointment, actually, because I know that his wife is an ardent supporter of this war in Iraq, and it seems to me if we're going to be picking out fearless acts a politician, fearless acts of challenging authority, fearless acts of speaking truth to power, one would start at a place of opposition to this wrong-headed, murderous war. And if you can't go there, one would think that speaking truth to power would have occurred to Bill Clinton when he asked folks to back up off of their criticism of George Bush after his astounding lack of response to Hurricane Katrina. Well, we're sitting here today as a woman lies in state, the first woman lies in state in Washington, D.C., in the rotunda. A woman who did speak truth to power and did act in a fearless way, and history will record that as so. Rosa Parks. I think that we need to measure our times. Not by what people say in their memoirs of their would-a-bees, could-a-bees, should-a-bees, might-a-bees. We need to measure them in terms of what did you do when times were tough, when you were at personal risk, when the wrong was inescapable. What did you do? What did you say? How did you act? How did you respond? And I think that we need to use that as a measure to evaluate a man's life, a woman's life. And we're going to do that this morning. We're going to talk about Einstein on race and racism. And we're going to do that at... Two people will help us facilitate that conversation this morning on Mondays at 9. We have Roger Taylor joining us from New York. Roger, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm outstanding. And we also have Fred Jerome also joining us from New York, another author on Einstein on race and racism. Fred, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? How are you? Fred?
Hello?
How are you?
I'm fine.
Very good, very good.
Faded it here a little bit, I think.
Can you hear better now?
No.
Okay, let's see what we can do to try to help that a little bit. I'm wondering.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, if we evaluate, if we take a look at Albert Einstein, there are those that have, at least people that have written their biographies on Albert Einstein, give you the impression or leave you with the impression that Albert Einstein didn't do anything really controversial, didn't have an opinion with regard to the state of people of African descent in his time. And Roger, I'd like to start with you. Is that true?
No, it's totally false. And it's interesting because what you were talking about you know, standing up, taking risks and measuring people's lives. It's a beautiful introduction to this piece and what we're trying to do with this book. Einstein was an ardent anti-racist, but he also had to deal with a conspiracy of silence. And the reason why we don't know about that is because of this conspiracy. Wherever we go, like to Lincoln, we've been to black colleges, white colleges, libraries, bookstores. The most common reaction we get is like, I had no idea.
Well, and that's just really amazing when a lot of the documents in your book came from Lincoln University.
Right.
It's true. And it's sad, but it's the state of things. It's what we have to fight through and fight against.
Talk to us about, because the time that Albert Einstein lived in is a very important period of time in this country's racial history. Can you talk to us about, just kind of give us the time frame and what was going on in the world during Albert Einstein's lifetime with regard to race? And Roger, let me start with you on that.
You know, Albert Einstein was basically thrown out of Germany by the Nazis because he was Jewish. And he ended up in Princeton, New Jersey, which he quickly found out was a southern town in New Jersey. Princeton is one of the most, if you look at the history of Princeton, it's one of the most racist, it has one of the most ardently racist histories that you can imagine.
That's quite a resume. That's quite a resume.
Yeah. And the school system there wasn't integrated until 1948. It was really like a southern town in New Jersey. I mean, if you look at Princeton University, which surprised me, even though I'd always thought of Princeton as this conservative sort of racist school, but it took them virtually 200 years. The school was started in Princeton in 1756, and it wasn't until 1947 when there was an African-American graduate. So we're talking about a school in the North that was almost like a Southern school, and it was in part because Princeton catered to the Southern elite and wanted to make them comfortable and control the town. So Einstein was thrust into this sort of racist environment, and he very quickly established relationships with African Americans, not only famous people like Paul Robeson and W.E.B. Du Bois and Marian Anderson, but with people in the Princeton community, many of which we talked to and had never been talked to about their relationships with Einstein before, just regular people that he would see several times a week.
And Fred, let me get to you because I don't know if this is just how things work spiritually, or just this is how things come together. But there's also a connection with Albert Einstein and Paul Robeson that has its life in Princeton as well.
Right. Actually, Robeson was born in Princeton.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, he got out long before Einstein arrived, but he did go back to give a concert several concerts and performances, and he gave a concert in 1935 to benefit the black YMCA. And Einstein went backstage to meet him. And they became friends. And they remained friends for 20 years. And although you won't read that in any of the more than 100 biographies of Einstein anywhere.
And this is significant because Paul Robeson, this country, our good government, did not make it easy for anybody to be a friend of Paul Robeson.
Absolutely right. In 1952, they wouldn't give, they took Paul Robeson's passport away. They said it wasn't in America's interest for him to be traveling around the world. They wouldn't give him a concert hall anywhere in the country to sing in. They wouldn't give him a driver's license. Black churches that invited him were threatened with having their insurance taken away. And it was in that atmosphere Einstein invited him to his house in Princeton, and they spent the whole afternoon together. And
now, this was in the later part of Einstein's life.
Yes, right, just a few years before he died.
And I guess the significance of that is the amount of time that Einstein spent with Paul Robeson, given what Einstein's health was. What can we glean from that?
Well, they must have enjoyed each other, the two men, because he could have just invited him over for a half an hour and said, "Look, I'm sick and have to cut this short," but they spent literally 6 hours together, and Lloyd Brown, a friend of Paul Robeson's, was with him and has told us the story and was even told it on television as well. And Robeson then wrote an article about it, so we know pretty much what happened. They talked about South Africa, and they talked about racism in America, and they talked about this growing trend of McCarthyism to stop people from traveling and stop people from speaking out. It has a lot of echoes in today's America.
Absolutely. And also, one of the issues that I think that it would be helpful, Roger, to also talk about at this time is it's not just that Albert Einstein, as in the twilight years of his life, taking 6 hours out of his day to spend with Paul Robeson, Albert Einstein also acted on some of the issues that Paul Robeson was advocating against. It just seems so weird to say that there had to be a fight to come up with an anti-lynching law.
Yeah, I was going to talk about in 1946, after World War II, many black soldiers came home, and I guess they felt they had served the country and should have full rights as citizens. And there was this really fascist, racist reaction in the South and a whole wave of lynchings.
And in the North, too. I mean, the Red Summer. I mean,
you're right. Einstein, at that time, became co-chairman of the American Crusade to End Lynching with Paul Robeson. And I think the thing about Einstein is he not only spoke out against racism, but he also realized and believed strongly that it was important to organize and join groups and participate, in changing things. And to me, this is a lesson that people across this nation, especially black people, but everybody, a lot of times we're convinced that we can't do anything about anything. We can't enforce change. And once you're convinced that you can't do anything. And people have to realize that the only way things are going to get better is if they take it in their hands and make the change.
How significant was his co-chairmanship of this organ, this anti-lynching organization?
Well, ironically, a lot of this information, which has been hidden from the public for so long, is contained in the FBI's file on Einstein.
And you include a lot of the file information in your book.
Yeah, and it's like the file, the FBI had an 1,800-page file on Einstein. And I did an earlier book on that. But it's ironic because Hoover, the head of the FBI, hated Einstein almost as much as he hated Martin Luther King. I mean, anybody who was for ending racism was an enemy of Hoover. And so there are 10 pages in that FBI file devoted to the American Crusade against lynching and the co-chairmanship by Einstein and Paul Robeson of that organization.
And what were some of the things that the FBI was saying or looking at and articulating about their membership?
Well, at one point they say, I don't have the quote right in front of me, but it's almost word for word, this is a typical communist attempt to stir up racial hatred in America.
An anti-lynching campaign.
Right.
A campaign against murdering black people,
exactly,
and hanging them from trees is anti-communist.
Yeah.
I mean, or it's pro-communism.
Right.
454-0400 is our phone number. 454-6609 is our fax. And our toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Let me get to a couple of callers here, if I may.
Okay.
Dimitri, you have a question for our guest, Roger Taylor, Fred Jerome, authors of Einstein on Race and Racism.
I have a statement and a question from Mr. Taylor and Mr. Jerome. I want to talk about a different facet of Einstein's personality, and I'd like to read a quick quotation from Peter's Quotations by Dr. Lawrence J. Peters, and I quote as follows. It's one sentence. And then I'll ask you a question. Scientists can collaborate in achieving the goal of international security if they take a stand in face of public opinion for the establishment of an international body and both a permanent personnel and a permanent military force. My question to you both is, would you comment on the statement, in the face of public opinion for establishment of this force? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dimitri.
Could you repeat the quote? I had trouble hearing it over here.
Fred, did you hear it? Jerome?
Oh, you know, I sort of heard it. He said that scientists need to stand to. Actually, I'm not totally clear on it when I think about it. I know he was saying that people have to stand up in face of the government.
And let's talk about that when we come back. We need to take a break right now, gentlemen, so let us take a break. And when we come back, let's talk, because there are some lovely quotes in the book, Einstein on Race and Racism, about Einstein's position on war, on government, and even on Israel. I think we need to talk about some of those things so we can give people a clear picture of where Einstein stood on those issues. I'm talking to, this is Mondays at 9, I'm talking to Roger Taylor and Fred Jerome, authors of Einstein on Race and Racism. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back after this break. We'll get some of your calls, too. Stay with us.
Examine life from the police perspective. Put down the police scanner and pick up Gary Wiegert on WGNU.net.
Nazareth Living Center, sponsored by the Sisters of St. Joseph, is having its annual fall craft fair and bake sale on Friday, November 4th and Saturday, November 5th from 8:30 to 2 in the Sister Mary Timlin Room. Nazareth is located at Ringer and Forder Rows with entrance off Ringer. Lunch can be purchased in the craft room from 10:30 to 1. For more information, call 314-649-4681. News to you from WGNU.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right. Baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I suck a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Single game tickets on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster outlets, StLouisBlues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive T-shirt as a thank you. Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, David Swanson joins Liz Brown. He's co-founder of AfterDowningStreet.org, and they're pushing to have President George Bush impeached for starting an illegal war. A new study indicates a majority of Americans favor such a move. We'll talk about that and more of what his group has in the pipeline. And that's Tuesday morning at 7 here on the Wake Up Call. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Well, I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head. For you.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Mondays at 9. This Monday, we are joined by authors Fred Jerome and Roger Taylor on the book, authors of the book, Einstein on Race and Racism. Gentlemen, welcome back to Mondays at 9.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
So let's talk about Einstein and war. Let's talk about Einstein and military and the military complex and the build-up to the military. Einstein wasn't a war advocate, was he?
No, actually, you know, I think in answer to that last question about the scientist's role, he did say that the scientists have influence and have a special therefore have a special responsibility to speak out on political questions. And he clearly included opposition to the war and the military buildup when he said political questions.
But let me. Could I also just chip in the way that I heard it? He also, at great personal risk, took positions. For instance, even when he was in Nazi Germany, he came out against racism in America. In an atmosphere where Nazis, even though they hated Jews, they thought that black people were like the lowest thing in creation. So, and everything that Einstein said, because he was such a huge figure, was reported on and reacted to.
And I'd like one of you to find a selection, because there are a number of letters that Einstein has written on the issues of race and racism that you include in the book, Einstein on Race and Racism. But if you can find one of those that you think kind of just typifies Einstein's position on race in this country. But I also want to direct you, while you're doing that, I also want to direct you to something that I found fascinating in the book. I didn't know that Einstein had an invitation to become the president of Israel, and he was opposed to the Jewish state.
There's a whole lot of issues here, and we've got quotes on all of them. So can I start with one on war?
Sure.
Okay, here's one where he said, this could almost have been said today. In recent months, this was said in 1950. In recent months, the nation's press has reported an increase in military activity and influence in our American educational institutions. The activity represented by military subsidy of science department, expanded military training units, increased use of schools and colleges as recruiting grounds, and military propaganda directed towards students and faculty has serious implications for both the future of our nation and for world peace.
That was 2002.
Yes, right. It was 1950.
Okay, all right.
Can I do one on race?
Certainly.
That I also think, when you think about Katrina, is like, you know, echoed loudly today. This is 1946, a message the Urban League. The taboo, the let's not talk about it, must be broken. It must be pointed out time and again that the exclusion of a large part of the colored population from active civil rights by the common practices is a slap in the face of the Constitution of the nation. Racism is America's worst disease.
And the comment on the Jewish state, I love what he said. Can either one of you share that with us?
Yeah, he actually had a whole lot of comments on this.
Well, I'm looking at the one on page 124 of your book.
Oh, okay. Well, let me look at that one. This is a book that needs to be written, but there is a misconception abroad about Einstein's supposed support for the Jewish state, which he didn't really do.
And I love the reason why he was opposed to it. I mean,
yeah.
it speaks to his position on war and also addresses the last caller's comment about military and about the army.
Yeah, he said that, I'm looking for the...
In the middle of it, he said Einstein said he had been opposed in the middle of the paragraph.
Opposed to a national Jewish state. And in the beginning, from the beginning, he'd been in favor of a binational state, and that was quoted in the Times, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that when you have a state, you get an army. And he was sorry the binational state didn't happen.
Mm.
He said he'd written about this, and it was in his book of essays, Out of My Later Years.
So if you have a state, then you get an army.
Right. And he warned against this wild nationalism that develops in Israel. And even after Israel was formed in 1948, for the last 7 years of his life, he was sharply critical of the attitude of the Israel government towards the Arabs. He thought that there should be that the friendship with the Arabs and equality with the Arabs was essential.
And Fred, I'd like for you to address this because there are a lot of times in the book that Einstein is looking at the United States through the lens of living at the time of McCarthyism.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a lot of the parallels of McCarthyism and what's going on in the world right now?
Well, it's hard not to. I mean, unfortunately, we didn't write the book with that in mind, but
mm-hmm.
it comes up all the time. And people say that history seems to be repeating itself. And at one point, Einstein said that he urged people not to testify before the McCarthy Committee and not to answer questions. And he said if he were subpoenaed, he would be prepared to go to jail. And it's like, well, we don't have those committees now, but we have other people going to jail for
we don't see the committees now.
Okay, we don't see the committees, right.
Exactly. We don't see you. Let's get to some of our callers. Kevin, you have a question for our guests, authors Roger Taylor and Fred Jerome, authors of Einstein on Race and Racism.
How you doing?
Fine.
I'd like to ask you a question. I like to see how a person feels about things during the good times. What was Einstein's views on race during World War One? Because that's when... Or after Reconstruction. Because when was Einstein born? In the 1800s, right?
1879.
Okay, 1879. So I guess he was a conscious person in during 1915.
Yeah.
Let's say after World War One, when black people went to France and they saw how we were being segregated because we couldn't even fight with the American troops, what was his views on race then and before? Because the Jews fought with the Germans at that time. Those are the good times for the Jews. So I'd like to know, what was his views before?
Okay, good question.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Roger or Fred?
You know, he didn't live in this country until 1933.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time he was in Germany and was preoccupied with the anti-Semitism that was building up. He was against World War One. And
Albert Einstein was not born in the United States.
No, he was born in Germany, and then he moved to Switzerland, and then he moved back to Germany. And he finally left Germany when Hitler came to power. They sort of drove him out.
But he was totally against World War One. And again, the culture in Germany was so nationalistic. He again was against it at great personal risk.
So then should we make then, should there be significance drawn on the fact that someone who is not a citizen from this country and could make the argument that I'm not from this country, I have no, what is it, no dog in this fight. Should we make significance of the fact that he took a stance on the issue of race?
Yes, I think so. He actually did it before he came to this country. When he was still in Germany, Dr. Du Bois wrote to him from the NACP and asked him if he, Einstein, would contribute something to the Crisis, the NACP magazine that Du Bois was then the editor of. And Einstein did. He wrote an essay on why racism was wrong in the United States at that point.
And what caused W.E.B. Du Bois to write to Albert Einstein to ask his position as a scientist on the issue of racism?
Good question.
Yeah, I don't think it was as a scientist. I think it was his stance as a pacifist and his stance as a humanist that made him write to him.
And you have that, you include that in the book, Einstein on Race and Racism, Du Bois' letter, and also Du Bois' response. Did he think that he was going to hear back from Einstein?
You mean at that time?
Right.
No, I don't think he did, but he was pleasantly surprised.
Let me get to some of our other questions here. You have a cell phone.
Yes, how you doing? I'm enjoying your show this morning, Liz.
Very good. Do you have a question for our guest, Roger Taylor or Fred Jerome?
Yes, well, maybe it might be for either one of them. I'm starting to notice that in certain years that more information about what different people have to say in the past comes out. And it's about Albert Einstein. I'm shocked, you know. But the man had a fro, so maybe he did. You know, he's down to earth about some things. But is there any other books or things by Einstein or any other scientists that might be out that really address the problems in the United States? And I think the one thing about Einstein, what I'm hearing from you guys, is that he was a humanist. And because Dr. Du Bois and Einstein were both humanists, and most scientists are going to look at things, a majority, well, I'm not going to say majority, but some scientists look at things for what they really are. And that's what Einstein appears to me to be all about. You know, he looked at things for what they really were. And he addressed these wrongs, you know, because most scientists should be about helping mankind instead of developing nuclear bombs or finding more ways to destroy and help. So I was just wondering if any one of you guys could address that.
All right. Thank you very much for your call.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. I saw a play about a scientist a couple of days ago that I was involved in a discussion afterwards named Fritz Haber. And his thing was that he was an opportunist, and he was Jewish, and he was a German, and he became a Christian so he could really become a scientist without being hung up. But I think for me it points to the fact that everybody, it's unique. As a matter of fact, it's one of the problems that we have with a lot of our politicians today. I heard the thing you said about Bill Clinton. You know, people don't stand on moral values, on their principles, and
they redefine what moral is.
Yeah, and they shift with the wind and with what's working for them. And I think Einstein and Robeson are examples of people who did not do that, and that's what makes them really special.
That's really what makes them so meaningful today. There's so few people like that today in the public light.
And there's this beautiful there are two things. One of the things to the last caller's question about where else can you read about scientists like this, or where else can you get more information. The great thing about the book is I'm a big bibliography person. I want to see your footnotes on stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you all have a great bibliography and great notes to all of your documentation. So I always go from there to other places to find out more about what I'm reading about.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no other book about Einstein that you can read this stuff in. You can read about it in biographies of Paul Robeson, like the young Paul Robeson by Lloyd Brown and Paul Robeson by Martin Duberman, which both of which discuss Einstein, and then a couple of biographies of W.E.B. Du Bois, including one by his wife, Shirley Graham Du Bois, which discusses Einstein's support for Du Bois when he was in trouble.
And we're going to take a quick break, folks. This is Liz Brown. Mondays at 9, our topic today is a book written by Roger Taylor and Fred Jerome, a book entitled Einstein on Race and Racism. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. We'll be back. Please stay with us.
To take another look at the so-called Leakgate scandal from another angle. New York Times reporter Judith Miller says she went to jail to protect her source, who turned out to be Scooter Libby. But was she really just protecting him from a perjury charge? How do you expose corruption by protecting the corrupt? That's our focus with Steve Rendell, senior analyst with Fair and Accuracy in Reporting, Tuesday at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Caracas. Government officials in Iran say they are counting on Venezuela to be their friend and ally. This comes in the wake of a statement last week by Iranian President Ahmadinejad that Israel should be wiped off the map. Venezuela and Iran are both members of the OPEC oil cartel and have grown closer since President Hugo Chavez came into office in 1998. However, Venezuela's foreign minister, Ali Rodriguez, says his country will have to consider the comments made by the president about Israel very carefully. Venezuela has given Iran open support since the U.S. and Europe have been attacking Iran verbally over its atomic energy program. And Dateline Washington. More details have surfaced as to how the forged documents from the African country of Niger pertaining to the yellowcake uranium sales to Iraq got to the Bush administration. The head of the Italian intelligence agency obtained the documents from Niger officials and then bypassed CIA Director George Tenet and other American intelligence officials. He then set up a personal meeting with Condoleezza Rice, who was then National Security Advisor, as well as her assistant Stephen Hadley. The Italian ambassador was also involved in the meeting, which took place during the summer of 2002, and it was at that time that the tainted information on Iraqi weapons of mass destruction were passed to the U.S. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Since 1977, Home Services, Inc. has helped St. Louis's disabled and elderly residents stay in their own homes longer. From repairing and modifying homes in the area to keeping neighborhoods safe, Home Services, Inc. has been there for thousands. If you or someone you know needs accessibility, safety, or weatherization improvements to their home, call 314-531-9779. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this nonprofit organization, send it to Home Services, Inc., 3755 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual Blanket Drive t-shirt as a thank you. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Good morning. Our guests on Mondays at 9 are authors of Fred Jerome, authors of Einstein on Race and Racism. Gentlemen, welcome back. Let's get to some of our callers.
Good morning.
Ex-Peter, good morning. You have a question for either Roger Taylor or Fred Jerome?
I got a question. I want to make a brief
explanation on why Du Bois needed a essay from Einstein prior to counter those reports that was putting out by scientists like Hegel, George Cuvier, and that what was coming out of Göttingen University about a blooming box back in the 1775 to 1800s, as they described people of African descent as being less than human and so forth. And Einstein worked a lot with some during the Manhattan Projects with at least 12 to 15 black scientists, one being Lord Quarterman, who you can read many of the letters that was transcribed between him and Quarterman back and forth during the Manhattan Project. But one thing I want to ask, what do you find the difference between Einstein and Lindbergh, who was an avowed racist and also a Nazi sympathizer? And also, can you came up with an explanation why even today in many of your popular physics books that's used in universities and so forth, they still don't mention anything about a black physicist that participated not only then in projects like the solving of the atom, but also the ones that we continue to have today working on problems?
Thank you, X-Peter.
Well, now Einstein himself didn't actually work on the Manhattan Project. He was barred from working on the Manhattan Project by the FBI and the Army Intelligence, who thought he was too dangerous to be allowed to work on it.
Well, that would make sense.
The other question is why we don't read about black physicists today.
Well, actually, let's do the second one about the comparison between the virulent racism of a Lindbergh and Einstein.
Well, I think it was totally opposite. In fact, Lindbergh was, you know, part of the America First organization that basically supported the Germans during the war and before the war and during the war. And Einstein was opposed to them and actually supported the idea of building a bomb once he realized that Hitler was going to get the bomb otherwise. And Lindbergh was an out-and-out racist, whereas Einstein was just the opposite, really. And he not only supported the struggle against racism in this country, he supported it all over the world. And at one point he said that he was a member of a group called the Council on African Affairs, which was headed by Paul Robeson and W.E.B. Du Bois, and he said that that no reliable, unlasting peace is possible without the political and economic emancipation of the exploited African and colonial peoples.
And Roger, isn't it interesting that the history books are silent as to Albert Einstein's understanding and position and intolerance of racism? Books are silent to that, but they're also silent to the virulent racism of a Lindbergh.
That is true. I think that Lindbergh's racism is sort of, I've heard about it. I think it's more well known than Einstein's anti-racism, because I think that one of the things that the society has evolved into is smothering anti-racist voices.
Mm. I don't know. I live in a city where one of the longest streets in this entire region is Lindbergh Avenue, and I bet you if you stopped anybody and asked them if they knew that Charles Lindbergh was such a racist, I don't think the most Americans would know.
I don't know.
Let me get to one or two more calls here, if I may. Scott.
Yeah, I guess the reason that we don't know these things about Einstein and Lindbergh is because the corporate media and the universities and the schools have not, at least they haven't focused on it. They certainly barely mention it.
Mm. Okay. Thank you, Scott.
Sure.
And that's really one of the reasons for your book, isn't it?
That's exactly right. You know, they teach us the acceptable half-lives of our heroes.
Mm.
And that's it.
One of the beautiful, there's so many pretty things, kind of, you know, close to a little bit of poetry that Einstein writes. One of the things he writes about is this thing calling, or he asks for, is to be able to judge the moral climate of a society. Do you all remember that in one of the documents that he wrote, that, that it is necessary for us to judge what the moral climate of a society is? And I love this last line. He said, no mechanism can give us a good moral climate as long as we have not freed ourselves from the prejudices to whose defeat you are devoting yourselves.
That was in a letter to the Urban League, I think, in 1946.
And that was another organization that he had extensive correspondence with.
Absolutely.
So what is it that you want people, and I'm going to start with you, Roger, because we have two more minutes left here. What do you want people to get out of Einstein on race and racism?
You know, I want them to be challenged to do something, to be challenged to change their perceptions, to be challenged to stand up to things that are wrong, and things that they know that are wrong, and things that are affecting them. And so I hope in some ways, we have a website, EinsteinOnRace.com, and we've talked about trying to do a racism watch page on the website. But, you know, I believe in political activity, and I think that people got to wake up, black and white. I think white people have to realize racism destroys their lives as well and the quality of their environment as well.
And, Fred, the signs are down. You know, the colors-only signs, white-only signs are down. And a lot of people would make the argument that racism is gone as well. What would Albert Einstein have to say about the racism that exists in the year 2005?
I think he'd be sad to say it, but it would be true nonetheless that the racism today is as virulent in this country as it ever was, and despite the fact that the back of the bus barriers are gone thanks to the courage of the people of the civil rights movement. The struggle today is as sharp as ever, and we see signs of it all over. The lack of adequate medical care for the black people has been documented by the Department of Health, and the income levels are half of what, you know, half as high for black people as for white people, and so on. And Einstein would probably say, because he believed in this, the thing to do is to organize.
And I'm going to let that be the final word. Gentlemen, authors of Einstein on Race and Racism, Fred Jerome, Roger Taylor, thank you so much for joining us on Mondays at 9.
Thank you.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Don't forget the wake for Marlon Gray is today from 5 to 8, and the funeral is tomorrow, today, at Ron Jones funeral home on West Florissant. Stay strong until tomorrow.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 9:20 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. President Bush makes a quick pick for Supreme Court.
I'm pleased to announce my nomination of Judge Samuel A. Alito, Jr. as Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Mr. Bush is said to have called Judge Alito at noon on Friday, the day after Harriet Myers bowed out of contention. Alito, who serves on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia, is popular with conservatives and says ABC's Linda Douglas.
The very early reaction that I'm getting from some senior Democratic aides is that this will be a fight. They want to be able to make the charge that the president